This is Hugh Talk America.
The following broadcast contains adult humor, language, and topics, along with partial nudity. Actual knowledge is used sparingly. The show is a result of a lost bet and a bad game of rock, paper, scissors. It's the show with Clayton McKee. And now, a man with a face for radio, Clayton McKee.
Oh, good evening, one and all. 7 o'clock on the old atomic clock on the wall. This is the show with Clayton McKee. It's April 8th, 2014. Show number 164. I am in Studio C with Katie June, an absent chair. Marnie Ryan, I'm sure she's close by.
She'll swing in any moment.
Any second. She'll be here to join us. Also, Al Perkins sitting right there. Hi, Al. Al's been very busy. He's been all over town for the past 2 days on his bike.
Yeah.
Three days.
I saw some check-ins today.
I
know.
My gosh.
Today was very exciting.
You've got to get all that in before it becomes a blast furnace outside here in Phoenix.
It's pretty fucking close today.
Well, right now as we start our show, it is a lovely 90 degrees in central Phoenix. Only 80 in here, but the air is on now.
Oh, okay.
That's not an outside temperature. Oh, I should get us a weather station so we can actually have live. And then Katie could go to the board and point out
things.
Oh my
God, I'll do it. Yes. I'll put on a little raincoat. I'll wear an umbrella.
Let's green screen that shit.
Oh, wouldn't that be fun? Actually, yes. we should just green screen the entire studio, and then we can all sit wherever we want to. The Arctic, Hawaii. We can sit wherever we wanted to.
That would be so fun.
Sadly, we can do that.
It does say 91 today, mm-hmm. but it feels like 87 because we have no humidity. 5% humidity. Why write that down?
It really wasn't bad.
No.
90,
no.
Whatever it was. We still had our doors open.
Yeah, I've had the doors open all day. I just know that when we lock the four of us in here for 3 hours, it gets a little thick.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
We just turned the air on just to kind of calm it down.
I think trying to sleep tomorrow in the daytime.
Might be an air conditioning day.
But this is still April 9th. That'll still be a record. I've never gone to...
No.
Like the second week of April without... I haven't turned my air on once.
Oh, and you're saying this is later than usual.
This is really late.
Because
I sleep in the, I'm home sleeping in the
during
daytime.
The middle of the
hottest part of the day.
Yeah, the worst
day.
Part, right. And the most expensive time of day to run your air conditioning also.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, if you could always get that flipped around. That's what I would prefer if at all possible, like it with SRP.
I know.
Yeah. Are you APS as well?
We are... Kelly. Oh, who's kidding who? I don't pay bills.
I was going to say, Kelly
yeah,
pays
no,
that.
Who's
you know,
kidding who?
You have no idea.
SRP has a lot of good deals. I'm on one of their plans. Something happens.
The lights are on. That's good.
Yeah, the lights.
That's all you really give a shit about.
Yeah. But there is something about, they did something where they take into consideration that I'm going to be there at the peak times.
Oh, that's good.
My electronics aren't on, you know what I mean? Because I'm sleeping, so it's... I'm not running a lot of... Almost everyone, you can't turn your air off in the daytime.
No, not in this part of the country.
But there is some weird deal that they were... They had some
deal for... That's nice of them to do that for you.
Shift workers. I don't know what the hell it was, but I signed up for it years ago.
Your shift differential.
Well, no, I did that as well, because I pay a considerably low amount from the hours of 7 p.m. to noon, and then I get jacked from noon to 7.
Yeah.
But they know... I mean, if I monitor it and I make sure we don't run the dryer and everything else, we're good.
Yeah.
But you just can't. You have a very proud bill in this part of the country,
mm-hmm.
especially in a house that's built in this vintage.
We just have it's the same every single month. You know,
oh, you have an even pay, right?
Yeah, the even pay. So it doesn't, but it's still really high.
Yeah.
It's just the same high.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then I don't know how people do it that don't do the even it all out plan.
Oh,
that's
what I'm talking about.
Oh, my God. Because if somebody hit me with a $370 electric bill in August, I'd be like, oh, fuck you.
Fuck you.
It's crazy.
Yeah, that's what I've been hitting. Yeah, I mean, if it goes up
that's
to like...
That's what ours gets into the 500s. Like, if we didn't have the even pay...
And you also have a pool.
We have a pool.
You have a pool. Marnie has a pool.
And we have... and we also have two people working from home.
Yep.
And so once it gets into the summer months, there's like no shutting the air off. Like, we can't...
I think you have one person really working from home. The other one is you.
she's raising
working
a child.
Listen, I'm physically at home, and I don't want to be hot either, people. So
right. Watching your Walking Dead or whatever it is you people
But Kelly did say, though, she came out today, and she's like, ugh.
Oh,
you know,
time?
She's doing the, it's hot, and she, but she's not, we're holding out. She's like, I'm not, and I was very comfortable today.
If it wasn't for you guys and for us having this here, and then now I have to have the consideration for a roommate, you know, again, so otherwise I would probably suffer a lot longer, and I would have my EVAP cooler on, but that does...
Oh, you have the EVAP, too.
Even though
we don't have that.
But even though it cools it, Air gets thick.
Yeah.
It's still, you're just like a fat girl in, you know, yeah. Krispy Kreme.
Arizona.
Wow. Yeah. Krispy Kreme, Arizona, ladies and gentlemen. Okay. There we are.
Yeah, we're the same way because I work from home, but then mom, she's changed her hours now, but for a long time worked nights.
Okay.
You know,
I didn't realize she changed those.
Yeah, she's working more like 12s during the day.
Oh, okay.
But when she was working nights and I'm working from home, there's no way.
You just got to have
it. Right.
You're just running it. So yeah.
Now you guys, what, 5 years ago changed out and got a new air conditioner.
Mm-hmm.
So that made a huge difference.
Yeah, it really did. We have an industrial size unit on the house, though.
And it's so quiet.
It really is quiet.
You have a beautiful Train air conditioner on there. Plug for Train air conditioner because they're fantastic. Yeah. But I was standing below it and I didn't know it was on. Like it was just so damn quiet.
Yeah, it's fantastic. That part is really quite fantastic.
Yes.
But you do. I mean, if you don't have, we still have, during the summer, I think our bill's I could tell you, I have to pay today, $275, $280. That's every month.
Even in the winter?
Every month. Mm-hmm.
Ours is in the, like, 300.
Oh, you were on the evil. The evil.
Oh, my God. That's your evened out bill?
That's evened out bill.
Mine would be.
That's better. Ours, too.
Because I'm one of those who's in June, July, August. I get hit with the $450. Mm-hmm.
Oh,
and then
guys,
in the winter.
You guys hate me. My bill's $105 a month.
Yes, but you live in the ice castle. Really?
Yeah. In the stone cold palace.
And you don't have a pool. And, you know.
Yet.
Yeah.
And I'm an 80-year-old woman, so I'm always cold.
Yes.
So to me, 77 is freezing. If I turn it down to 77, I'm frozen solid.
Now, I'm the one
who
gets cold. I'm the one out of whether it's
I would think you'd be the
Aaron.
Hot-blooded one.
Mm-mm. Nope. I'm the one who, like, I'm typically chilled, or I always have a blanket on.
Yeah, I do, too.
Always. And
the sweatshirt comes out because
and I like that. I like to wear the sweatshirt and be covered in blankets. I really like that.
But I'm not going to turn my air down to, you know, 60 degrees to be able to.
But
do
I know,
that.
I know when certain people come over, like Jason, if Jason Carlton comes over, I know that I have to put on pants and a sweatshirt
just to be cool, just to be nice,
just to be nice because he'll die. Right.
Yeah. Oh, sure.
He'll just sit there and sweat to death.
Yeah. It's just uncomfortable when you walk in certain places, but we usually have to keep it. Because of the way our house sits and being an older home and all of that, my room is the
southwest corner.
West.
Yeah, you are.
You touch the wall, and it's like,
oven.
That's uncomfortable.
Oh, yeah.
That is crazy to me. We have some rooms that do the same.
Oh, yeah, because I live in the pizza oven in the summer. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because it's a brick oven. Like, I just want to get a thin crust pizza going in there.
just like set in the
middle
floor.
Of the living room and just see what happens.
Because if I get up at like 11 o'clock in the morning and I touch the east facing wall, I'm like, ouch.
No, it does. It makes a very big difference.
Yeah. It's like a cave in my room. Yeah, like, it's so dark.
You can't insulate the cinder block.
No, you can't.
You can paint it.
Actually, cinder block, you can. What they do is, honestly, and if you ever listen, actually, it's a commercial that's all the time on the radio station that you listen to that you hate.
Oh, that I run out of the house screaming.
It's called retrofoam. They fill all the cinder block. Oofta. Right.
Retrofoam.
They fill them with a foam, and it makes a substantial difference because otherwise, cinder block, literally, the breeze just goes through it.
Sure.
Okay.
But if they fill them with foam, it blocks a whole lot of that.
Wow. Oh, I got
so the retro foam. The guy's like from Canada.
Oh, God.
He does the whole commercial and he's fine. And he goes, then the phone number is like something, something, something.
Oh,
foam.
Oh.
Foam.
Oofta.
Oh, yeah.
Oof. Then he starts it with oofta. It's hot out.
Yeah.
No fucking doubt. Cheese and rice. But no, they do. They retrofit homes with that. And then also in the roofs of, obviously, you have the insulation in your attics. They're doing a whole lot more of that because it comes in from above. I mean, can you imagine being, we're human, I realize, but God, can you imagine what a roof in Arizona really goes through in the summer?
Oh,
it's just freaking hot.
I know, and there's something's disconnected and needs some kind of special tape to put it all back together. Remember, I sent you an email or a message. There's something, and the guy took pictures of. He's like, you need to just wrap this with tape, and he gave me the tape. He's like, just have someone go up there.
Oh, one of the ducts?
Yeah, the ducts
up there?
Something's loose or something, and I just, all right.
Well, and everything in our attic, like, even if I were tiny, which obviously, but there's no way to, as far as like going up through the closet.
Oh God, who fits in those?
Right,
who goes there?
This big.
No, right. I think Palmer. I could hoist Palmer up into the attic.
Bring her on.
But
she likes gymnastics.
That's
because
true.
Apparently,
it's a
up
lot.
There,
you have to.
You have to go up and over
snake
and
around.
Under and.
That's what's
no
wrong
wonder
with our
they
attic.
Pay so
you know
much.
I've had an envision.
Or you have to pay so much. For
I had an envision of a house if they would make half of the roof hinged, so that literally it was like on hydraulics
I like it.
And like half your earth would just lift up, mm-hmm. and you could just walk right in, do what you got to do, and then it would just come right back down.
You should invent that.
I should.
I like it. I think it's a good call.
I'm going to copyright that right
I
now.
I hope to die before I ever see what's in my attic. I will pay someone to go up there and take pictures, but I ain't going. Mm-mm, I saw Sinister.
I found...
and when, I didn't, and I'm not going.
When I owned the house next door, I had to go in the attic of that for something, and I found a... And I, it would be cool to
dead
find...
Dead body?
No.
No, that was in the fridge.
No. No kidding. That was brutal. But in the attic, a pencil drawing somebody had drawn of a woman.
Oh, that came to life and tried to kill
you?
No,
it didn't.
No. Al's been, see, he's, as you said, he watched that movie.
Watching those shows.
Very funny.
No, but it was, and I got it here somewhere. It's just a hand drawing. And
it's
I thought,
here in the house?
Yes, it's in the house.
It's right behind you.
Burn it!
But I thought it would be cool to go up through this attic to figure out what, you know, in 47, 51, whatever, find out what's up there. It might be something cool. What if there's a Stradivarius violin laying around upstairs?
That was one of my favorite things. Did I tell you about that when I was working on Aaron's house? The wall, like one of the walls in the bathroom, I had to knock out the wall. And you know, this house is from before the beginning of time. And so I'm sitting there and I'm like,
thank you for building it.
Absolutely. I'm good like that. And I really did a shitty job. But the wall, so I'm knocking it out and knocking it out. And all of a sudden I look down and there's this old newspaper.
Mm.
And it's all rolled up. And I was like, oh my God, it's a find. Like, we just paid for the whole house. Like, there's going to be something.
No.
Nope. I took pictures of it before I touched it. Like, all kinds of crazy. Just, of course, I was a little going through some lunacy.
There were a lot of fumes, a lot of dust.
A lot happening. Things flying at me. And I take it out. I'm so excited. And it was, like, yellowed. And, like, it followed apart. 1991.
Okay, not that big of a
No, I'm like,
how did this asshole get in here?
Yeah, it was, and it was being used as, you know, like
filler for that
filler.
quality construction in that house.
20 years ago. Well, I was like, what are you
I don't know
doing?
If you recall the story that I told some months back when I took out the storage room that was in that the workshop, and I found behind a wall, it was former tenant of the house. It was a little mouse, apparently. And they built the little house and a piece of the newspaper. I want to say like 1951 or 1957. Yes. Just a little corner. I could just see the date. I thought, well, that's kind of cool.
That's neat.
I mean, they'd moved on. I don't know where they live now, if ever. But I thought it was kind of cool. Because I've always thought about that. If you find things in the wall or if you, time capsule or somebody did something.
Yeah, that were 1925 or 19 something and you take it out, 1941. Pearl Harbor. What? Yeah.
I was just going to share.
Japs did what?
Yeah. I was just going to share that a friend of mine who was my friend Amanda Wood that was just redoing her house. I was
like,
going
say hello to Japan listening right now. Thank you.
Yeah, welcome.
Okay.
And goodbye.
Yeah.
Hello and goodbye.
Just Tomo in New Zealand, I think.
That Amanda was going through and knocked out some of her walls and found like a sketchbook. A drawing sketchbook.
Oh, that's cool.
So I was going to tell you that, and then I remembered that actually was the Bates Motel. Actually, the plot of the Bates Motel story.
It sucks when we put those things together.
I was like, wait, that didn't
sometimes
happen to someone I know.
TV or to a friend of mine.
Took a second.
This friend of mine used to live in St. Olaf, and then she used to eat cheesecake. Oh, wait a minute, that's Golden Girls.
You know that show Go On that was on HBO about the long-term care with What's-Her-Face from Family Guy? And Laurie Metcalf.
Oh, yeah. Right.
Really funny. There is a story that they took that, aside from changing the nationality of the person and how it all went down, actually happened where I worked. Like, so because I told somebody the story, they're like, you know, that was an episode of TV. I'm like, I know, but it really did happen to me. Like,
it was me. It was me.
No, but I'm like, obviously, it's happened to other people. That's what makes the story so much fun. But Tim and I and a bunch of people in the 80s were trying to go to a bar we had never been to before. And we weren't sure where in the building it was, and somehow we got to the basement of the wrong... You know, it was a building that was, like, two next to each other,
mm-hmm.
and we thought we were in the right building, but we weren't. And we took the elevator down, and we ended up in the basement of the wrong building, and then we couldn't get the elevator to come back. And
scary.
We could hear the club above us, like, we were like,
we know
fuck.
We're close.
We were just we were a building off, and we could hear it. We were just in the wrong place. And there was a calendar on the wall from like sometime in the 60s. And like one lone, it was like a horror movie, like one lone naked bulb. And we were convinced I think we were down there for like 45 minutes, but it felt like a day and
a
half.
45 minutes is like a long time.
And we were like, no one can hear us because
we're going to die down here.
We thought we were going to have to wait till like the bar closed and people cleaning up and then just tell them, like, we don't know where we are.
Oh my God, that is the plot of a horror movie.
Totally.
Oh, it really, it was really upsetting. If we hadn't been trashed out of our minds,
You may have cried and screamed and clawed out.
I think I did all
those
things.
He may have done that anyway. Yeah. That could have happened.
In one of the last times, and not nearly as dramatic of a story as what you've just told, but when one of the last times I went back to Missouri, in fact, Marnie was with me. Remember when we went next door to the house and went through the garage?
Mm-hmm.
We found a calendar from 1964 that the neighbors had written how many quarts of strawberries that they had given to my grandparents. And it was kind of cool to flip through the calendar, like when they were like they'd grown their crops and they gave it to this person or that person. It was just kind of cool to see my grandparents' name written in the calendar. They had how many quarts of strawberries or whatever.
Well, and were they expecting payment? Like, was it
knowing those neighbors? Yes,
maybe.
Oddly, knowing that neighbor,
yes.
Probably so.
You know, she's had 8 quarts of strawberries.
She never did pay a dime for
it. I have not
seen
one thing of jam.
She's always taking advantage. That one,
always. Yeah, yes.
Not a stalk of fucking corn this way.
I'm pretty sure I took some books out of there. Yeah. There were some old books. Mm-hmm. They were just it was interesting to walk in and be like, people used to read this.
Yeah,
like one was an old anatomy book.
Yeah, mostly was still accurate. Mostly.
Yes, mostly.
Well, head, legs.
Yeah. Like, they got the key components right.
Yeah, exactly.
The core
part, you know. Yeah. But it was interesting to like look through and how they had certain things written about conditions and this and that. You're like. No.
We call it ADHD today.
Yeah, right.
Hyperactive child.
No, we don't lobotomize as much as we
not
used
anymore.
To.
That's so the Kennedy.
Though it's still an option for
although
some.
Although if you're watching Hannibal.
I have them all DVR'd. I have not watched them yet.
Oh
I have
my
to
gosh.
Sit down and I have like 5, I think.
I think they're on 6. And this last week, it's gruesome and gorgeous. Like it seriously is just watching a gorgeous, gorgeous painting of horrible, horrible things. They found a way to get this guy to have a tree grow through him and planted like all the flowers that are deadly to each organ. He was like opened up and disemboweled and in place of where his organ should be, there was like the flowers that would kill each organ. Like he had belladonna in his heart and like... And it was gorgeous. I was like,
it was gorgeous.
No, I did. I paused it because it's all these beautiful flowers and a gorgeous tree. And then you look and you see the face and you see that it's a cut open
on
human.
On his trunk.
Yeah.
That's right.
There you go.
Very good. I put all that together.
And then last
just
week
right
they had
now,
this beautiful.
I'm going to delete that.
Oh, yeah. They lobotomized somebody just beautifully. Wow.
Jesus Christ.
Is this like a thing that only someone in the restaurateur profession can appreciate? We can all appreciate the lobotomy.
A clean cranium.
Yeah. No. But
am I seeing blood? Am I seeing things like this?
A little bit of blood, but not much.
Okay.
It's all very artful. It really is. If you've ever seen his other Brian Fuller's other show, he did Pushing Daisies.
Oh yeah, no, I love that.
How gorgeous Pushing Daisies was, mm-hmm.
and it was creepy and weird,
Falls.
But awesome.
Okay. Yeah,
yeah, okay.
Like he just,
I'm back on track.
He's just an artist, and these stories are, and it's the spirit of Hannibal and how, you know, Hannibal was always about politeness. And, you know, if you've ever read the books, he was a docent for the Baltimore Philharmonic or the Baltimore Symphony. And he would throw these lavish dinner parties and everything. And then he was published in all these culinary magazines for these beautiful presentations and all these different things. And it wasn't until after he was arrested that everyone in the Philharmonic Society realized they had been eating their friends.
Oh, my God. Wait.
Because it was Hannibal the Cannibal. Have you never heard of Hannibal the Cannibal?
No, I know. But I didn't realize that he fed that to people.
I was afraid.
Like, oh, yeah.
I was afraid for just a moment. This is another one of those actual stories that they'd rip from
in Florida.
SVU on Law and Order SVU. They always have those. Like it's a real story. Like
ripped out of the headlines. I mean, but he is based on several people. But they just made him. Mm. He's so refined and he's so. It's you get more of it if you read Red Dragon, Silence of the Lambs. Yeah.
Because I saw Silence of the Lambs, but never.
Red Dragon. I didn't.
And
read.
I saw Silence of the Lambs literally in sixth grade, and I haven't seen it.
It's time to revisit. It's still the greatest.
Why
movie
would you have seen that in sixth grade?
It was
like a sleepover type of thing, you know.
So you've only ever seen it in horrible, shitty video form. You've never seen. You got to go back and see that movie for reals. It's beautiful.
And it didn't have this, and I liked it. It was not the same effect
but
as like
Freddy
Nightmare on Elm Street in the fourth grade, which destroyed my life for years.
Because you're missing all of it. If you don't see it letterboxed, you don't ever see.
Well, and just as a kid, I didn't get it.
And you don't see all the things of him.
We were looking for the
and
shock
and
value,
right? And the reflections in the mirror, and him imitating her voice, and like all the different things. And you need it. That has to be letterboxed. They just
time to go back.
One of the shittiest video transfers of all time. I talk about it all the time. If you haven't seen it. Criterion Collection or you didn't see it in the movie theaters, you have not seen that movie.
Okay.
No one has ever done it justice. And they're just now bringing, because everyone is on this thing now. It's one of the greatest movies of all time, and everyone's realized. So, like, HBO is showing it now on demand. Netflix has it now.
Oh, good.
So everybody's done, like, oh, we are so sorry that everyone has spent 20 years watching. Oh.
So it's okay if I watch it HBO on demand on my TV. Yeah, I have a big screen. Yep, yeah, yep, okay.
Yeah, because right.
I can handle that.
Orion Films went out of business before that won its Oscar. They went out of business. They won two Best Picture Oscars in a row.
Didn't realize that.
Went into bankruptcy, and so no one was in charge of that video, and they just...
fucked it
it's
up.
It's like a seventh generation. And then when they did the first DVD, they just took the shitty video and transferred it there. No one had ever like restored it and cleaned it up and got it back to it's Tak Fujimoto does the cinematography. Ooh. Everything is missing from that
something
movie.
Something in Spanish there. I didn't know what the hell was.
For our friends in Nippon.
Yes, well, I'm going to go back and revisit. I have a couple of movies on here that like Inglourious Bastards, Summer of 42, now in Silence of the Lambs.
Silence of the Lambs first.
Okay. Oh. It's that's so much, and I have like actually a much longer list. I just don't get around to watching many movies, but I have got a very long running Al movie list here.
But that is first and foremost, that is my favorite movie of all time. Like, okay. There is nothing better. All right, tight.
I have so many things DVR'd now.
I'm turning the entire world into shut-ins.
Oh my God. It's so much, but last night while I was working, I watched Vito.
An amazing documentary.
Apparently it's amazing.
Shocked that I hadn't heard of him before.
Knew more about him. And now when you watch Normal Heart in the end of May on HBO, when they premiere that for HBO, you will Vito.
Okay, Vito Russo.
Yeah, just, I can't remember. You got to figure out who everybody is.
Sure.
And it's easy to Google and find out what he changed all the names to.
Okay. Yeah.
But Vito Russo was definitely in there.
Really was something.
No. We're off and running. We've covered services from the utility companies.
Yeah.
Air conditioning, horror flicks, and being buried in a basement.
Oh, yeah.
And nobody got quarts of jam.
Yeah.
Katie June, as we kick off our show, as we do each and every week.
Yeah.
You've been up to doing what?
Well, it was a great... long weekend.
It was Pride
of course,
weekend.
It was Phoenix Pride weekend.
Holy yes, it was a lot going on there.
I've never gone. So the last few years that I've participated in the HRC Gala and then Pride, we both have,
right.
It's never been one weekend and then the next.
Right.
So there's always been a break. So
nope, not anymore.
It was back to back to back. There's a big Aunt Rita's event coming up this weekend. Mm-hmm. Their Viva Aunt Rita. So it's a lot of stuff happening. Of course, the weather's nice and it's the time of the year.
Get all the way while it's
Going. While people are still like leaving their houses.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly what you want to do.
And so it was a great weekend.
This was in the entire history of, I don't know, you probably saw this in email form today. For our Phoenix Gay Pride, it was record year in attendance and monetarily. They raised more money this year for their scholarship funds and everything that they all donate back to. But there were more people in the park than ever before.
I
thought it was crazy that it was. But it was a great weekend. The layout was fun. It was good.
It was a really good. There were like some little things that Justin Owen did a little bit differently than what Brandy did. Nothing major.
The big concert stage is back, and I thought
the big concert stage is back. Like some little things that were just really cool. So the dance pavilion,
huge.
So I just want you guys to see this picture because this is Phoenix Pride.
That's one tent.
Oh,
that's
amazing!
Yeah,
a tent. On Saturday,
insane.
They had this thing called the Calliope. So it was it was like a giant looking circus stage set kind of thing,
right.
Where the DJ played way up top and there were like bars for people to climb on and swing from and huge speakers. And then at the back, there was this big giant car for people to climb in and speakers. And
yeah, that was it's like the largest Volkswagen Beetle ever.
They've built
this. It's a crazy looking
thing. And it's music and it's like cool
prop. It's huge.
Okay.
You were at Pride.
For about a minute and a half, I was a little tired.
You probably didn't make it back to right. But no,
there was no dancing.
Literally, that Volkswagen Beetle is probably 2.5 to 3 stories tall.
It was cool.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, you had to climb a ladder to climb onto it.
Where was it in conjunction to the stage?
It was in the back of the dance pavilion area back here. You can kind of see it in this picture above everyone's heads.
If you were standing looking at the stage that Barbara, Seville, and our group was on, you would have to go If that's noon, you'd have to go to 7 o'clock and walk about half a mile.
Over by all the food, where the bouncy things are. Yep. And so it just added like kind of a cool new element to the dance pavilion.
We did not go on that side.
So. Yeah.
Well, that's good. I mean, the attendance is up. Huge. It's going
It was really great. And it was
perfect weather.
Absolutely gorgeous.
Perfect.
It was actually chilly at night. Like, at nighttime, we were like, where's our sweatshirts? Which I've never done at Phoenix Pride ever. Right. So that it was just kind of a neat.
And Monday, as literally at Monday, as I'm there at 10 o'clock Monday morning tearing down, it was already warmer than it was in the afternoon the day before.
Oh, like,
whoo, dodged a bolt by one day.
You really, they really got lucky with that weather.
Yeah.
It was beautiful. Very nice. One of the funny things was, so Clayton and I do the parade every year. Mm-hmm. So we did the parade Saturday morning.
Was it good?
We did the parade.
Yeah.
there's a meeting coming up.
Yeah, like a recap meeting.
Yeah, we're gonna go to that.
Yeah.
Oh.
And actually the other Jonathan Breyer hosted the other stage because they the second stage.
Unfortunately, alone because who his co-host was supposed to be never showed up. So that poor Jonathan Breyer had to go through the entire book on his own.
Yeah. Sucks. Was it me? Was I supposed to do it?
No, I didn't get a memo.
We're like, anyway.
I cannot envision Al Perkins doing the parade. Who are these people? Who cares? Look, a horse. Is that
She's
a horse?
She's wearing what we're going to describe as a coat.
Of many colors.
And slacks.
Now is the time to talk about me again.
Yeah. Right.
Anyway, back to what I was doing. Yeah. Like a lot of snark.
Does anyone think that's important? It's not.
A lot of snark.
This person wrote a bio. Congratulations.
So we'll have
most
that
of it spelled
later.
Properly. Yeah. Thank you, sir.
Most.
Oh, one of the things, Katie, that I don't think I mentioned to you on Saturday morning. So as we're standing there, and obviously there are security people here, and we have a Ron Goyette comes and gives us our sound system, and it's all set up and it's all lovely. Well, all of a sudden there was this army of people in little orange vests, like you would see a traffic worker or a traffic cop might wear standing in the middle of an intersection. I'm like, who the fuck are all these people? And then I realized they're all from Target. They are there to help keep the crowd out of the streets from running, interfering with the parade. And every time I thought about them, I wanted to make a joke in regards to, we'll have no security breaches of the people from Target. And I thought, as soon as I do, we're going to get a strongly worded letter to the
Target sponsorship.
And that'll be the last time I do the parade. Yeah. So I decided against it.
As they go by, hide your Capital One card.
Yeah. Yeah. No swiping.
No swiping.
No swiping. No swiping.
And now how are my boys from A Great Big World?
I was not there on Sunday night, a Saturday night, rather.
They were there
on Saturday. However, I heard they were really wonderful. And they do a meet and greet afterwards, and there were lots of anywhere from 25 to 30 people get to come back, whether they purchase tickets or win tickets or whatever, to come meet. And there were the ages ranged, but there were some high school girls, like some teeny bopper fangirls that were crying hysterically, shaking, going ape shit over these guys.
These are the ones without a record deal that got popular because of teenage girls on the internet.
Yeah.
These are the guys that have, they only have two songs. Yeah. Unless they finally put out an album to back it up. They released two songs on the internet and one exploded on So You Think You Can Dance.
And one was with Christina.
No, but no, it blew up and then Christina Aguilera was like, oh, I'm peeing on that. Like, Christina Aguilera called them and said, how are you so popular and how did you write this beautiful song and why does no one know who you are? Can I help you sell a couple of... I've never heard the version with Christina Aguilera.
Oh, okay.
I have no idea.
I've heard their version and her version. It's a beautiful song.
Yeah, I'm just afraid that she'll do something to it that'll make me cry.
It's so good. She really does a good job. But they were... But from what I understand, they were great. They were very gracious. They were really lovely. Neon Hitch.
They were Saturday night. Okay.
They were Saturday night.
Oh, okay.
Yes, they were. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. Neon Hitch was also on Saturday night.
Mm-hmm.
The crazy, crazy, crazy British... Want to fuck you better, singer. Yeah. And I guess she was just completely schnookered. She was drinking Jack on stage, but put on a great concert, but then hung out backstage afterwards all night, like high school dance party. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh.
That's when we left.
She was she was kind of a crazy girl.
Yeah, we didn't get there until late.
Yeah. But I guess she was really fun. And then we saw on Sunday when I was there volunteering, it was Beverly Mitchell. From The Voice.
Right. I saw a picture.
Yeah.
And I was I got really excited. I didn't pay attention to that before.
Yeah.
That was
she
very
was
cool.
really good. And the coolest mm-hmm. thing was, is like, she was an artist that came in. She made it big on The Voice. That's yeah. just it. That's her claim yeah. to fame.
Yeah. And has an amazing. I thought no it was one, Beverly McClellan.
No one,
I'm sorry, McClellan. Oh,
no
right.
one from The Voice has gone anywhere, and they can't figure it out.
No.
She has and an amazing
she
voice.
Has a great voice, but the best part about it is that she was so amazing to the fans. Like, cool. she was so cool. And she has this air about herself that is, I know how I got here. Mm-hmm. Like, y'all voted for me on a TV show.
Right, right.
And she's just so down to earth and cool. She invited people to come up on stage and sing with her. She
it.
Had a little
oh,
girl
cool.
singing in the microphone at one point. People, she was taking pictures. They do a merchandise sales, and a lot of times the artists don't come out and sign their merch, but she came out and sat in the tent and had the longest line of the whole day.
Is it Totes merch?
Totes merch. When Taylor Dane played, she stayed forever and signed.
And signed. This is Beverly McClellan, too.
She signed till way after the park was
yeah.
closed.
Oh.
She was really very, very
people
nice to everybody.
People who just get it and they know yeah. where their fame comes from.
Yeah.
So
where their money comes from.
Where their money yeah. comes from.
Right.
And then...
Trust me, Taylor Dane needs the cash.
Yeah.
So does Beverly McClellan.
Every
CD that people bought, she was ready.
Tell it to her heart.
I love it.
Tell her she's the only one.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But the last thing I'll say is that Michelle Branch also played. Okay. She was so great. Michelle. There are so many more songs of hers than I realized.
Okay.
And she was just really good, really fun. It was a great crowd. Phoenix Pride is fun.
I just thought it was a good weekend overall. I
the
mean, for the whole festival
just done
was good.
So well.
In fact, another thing to report that I was told, even for all the previous years, there were less than half of, because obviously they have to have medical teams standing by and emergency and police and you know everything that you have to have for a big festival like that. Literally, they said that there were less than half of the incidences that occurred last year. So, wow. I mean, even from the safety yeah. aspect of it, it's even yeah. better. And I don't know if it was just leaning towards the fact that it was cooler,
less
nobody
hot,
got overheated.
Yeah. Yeah. Sure.
There
yeah.
were no,
sure.
you know, I don't know that they had to arrest anybody from the festival.
Oh, you
I
just
heard.
You just always see those people mm-hmm. leaving that are like sunburned.
So, yeah. so. That oh,
are,
yeah, hot, drunk, sunburned.
This color. And yeah, you're like, yeah. oh, that's going to hurt tomorrow.
Yeah.
But the Sway event, big props to Sway Events, who did their VIP tent, was the best they've ever done. It was gorgeous inside. They had the coolest stuff going on inside.
Some sort of a photo shoot where they were doing.
They had a boudoir photography company came out and like staged a whole photo shoot, so you could get dressed up in a corset cool. and like do photos. They did food.
I did not do the corset.
The boudoir. It was so cool. They had food. They had tons of giveaways. They had massages. They had. It was just great.
Well, and the part of the VIP tent was what I had to go and set up for on Thursday. They did a full, for the first year, no, excuse me, second year, they did a full bar where you
oh,
can,
yeah.
you can go, you can buy the drink tickets in the park if you want, but if you buy the ticket for the tent, full bar. You know, vodka and whiskey and beer and regular
with
drinks.
No line.
Yeah,
full
oh,
bar,
wow. oh, yeah.
no line, and they have the executive bathrooms, so you're oh, like yeah. going into a real
oh.
bathroom.
Yeah. All right,
and it's air conditioned.
So you'll go to Pride next year if all that's ready.
Yeah, and you know what the funny thing is
and you get front row to the stage. I mean, they did that
very
VIP
well.
Tent
yeah.
right.
for a Sunday party that wasn't Pride related. I have to start taking PTO at that time of year where I built up too much. So I had said, I'll take Saturday off. And of course, they were like, we can't give you it off, but we can put you on call. And I'm like, well, I'm not going
to
go over there, get in there,
and then
have a beer,
get hot and dry, and then find out I have to go back to work.
Yeah.
So it was kind of a waste, but I did get to the party the next day. And then, of course, I'm sitting there. I just get the call. You're on call for the night. And then Harrison goes, what are you doing next weekend? Can you come do something? I'm like, motherfucker, if you had told me like 2 hours ago before I put my on call for this week, I could have put it
yeah.
for... Because you can only do once in a while.
Right.
And hope to get it. Like, you know what I mean? The chances of getting it. But they yeah. get better and better as it gets later. But so just kind of funny. And so I was going to go Sunday, but then my friend had her birthday party, and that turned into the whole day.
Okay. Debauchery.
A little bit.
yeah.
Whose birthday?
It was my friend Lindsay's birthday that I work with and went to school with, and we've just been hanging out a little bit more. She's my neighbor, and
oh, fun!
Yeah, we went to the Vig, and it started off.
Oh yeah,
started off with
bring a dog.
16? No, that what they know. That was the kids. That was the children in strollers.
I just saw your Facebook.
No, the dogs was later. Oh, the dogs okay. was at the bar.
Okay,
on Central.
Got it.
But
I was laughing. I just
no,
saw
at the
post.
Vig, they have it's. There's an inside restaurant and there's a back patio, but the front is a bar. Like, it's a straight
right.
up bar.
Okay.
It's not pretending to be anything else. They don't have tables for eating. And they have a very nice smoking area where you sit in, like, big, like, Adirondack chairs, like, really comfortable chairs where everyone's smoking, but they're all drinking because it's the bar.
You're right.
Strollers. What's next to the Adirondack chair? Strollers.
With children.
Strollers. Who's playing the toss-it drunk people games? Children. And I'm like, this is good parenting. Wow. Not only do you have babies, not toddlers, right. not kids that can walk away from the smoke. Trapped people.
Right. Oh, that's sad.
While they're smoking and drinking the bottomless mimosas. And I'm like...
It worked in the 50s. Well, who cares?
That is actually true. That is true.
It's a new day, people. But the best part was, is everyone around me is all these like worried people that like make their own baby food and like, you know what I mean?
The green people.
Oh, right. The kid can't touch the dog till they're 12 because they might catch something.
Yeah, you have to fully get rid of the cat.
We're perfectly fine with the kid in the smoking section.
Look at the wind just takes it right away.
And not one kid, but like... Stroller after stroller.
Yeah.
In the bar. And I just felt like, am I in Alabama?
It was a bar.
Yeah. You have a baby.
Yeah, the point is,
you have a bar.
Now, I don't know what the liquor law is, but if I'm not mistaken, as long as they are with their legal guardian, they can be in the bar.
Well, I'm sure it's considered a restaurant. It's just that it's not.
Yeah, but there's something about that after a certain time.
Right. Like 10:30 at night.
Yeah, 10 o'clock, I think. No, but at 10 o'clock, like more food has to be sold than booze.
Right. That's
then something. You're not successful anyway. Yeah.
So. And the children can't push their own stroller home. There's some law. I'm sure there's something about that. There's got to be.
I've definitely been in that position before.
Where I'm like, I mean, can I take Palmer here? Right. Can I not take her here?
Oh, and it's just the people that I'm with. Like, they're all like, oh, no, we puree all our baby food. We would never buy it in a jar.
Yeah.
But you're okay with a cigarette?
Yeah. I definitely...
Just give the kid a Tarotin.
Oh, I definitely took Palmer at one point in her life when she was very small, and I was just for a second to meet a friend, but I definitely had her inside of Cobalt, like in a pupusa, like a pouch. Nice. Yeah, she
but
was in the bar.
But you can't smoke inside.
That's true.
There you go.
It was like a Saturday afternoon, which somehow makes me feel better about it.
Sure, so
like, I mean, it wasn't night, people, but I definitely had a baby. In a bar. Like, there's no food there.
It just made me laugh where they were choosing to sit. It was that they were in the smoking section. Yeah.
Well, and we do.
Mass.
And we've gone.
And the one looked like Lindsay Lohan, and that was killing us. Because at first, I'm like,
are you sure? Did you check credentials?
She doesn't look that much like Lindsay Lohan. And she didn't from the side, but then she sat in a chair facing me, and I'm like, oh, yeah. And then she's got a mimosa, a cigarette, and a baby on her arm. I'm like, oh, yeah. That's Lindsay Lohan.
Next on TMZ, Lohan spotted in downtown Phoenix playing shuffleboard with babies.
But I have to tell you, once the children thinned out, that is a really, really
it's the best
cute
one.
It's a cute
I haven't
place.
Been to that one.
Best one. The Fillmore Vig.
It was a delight, I have to say. I really enjoyed myself.
Well, I'm going to interrupt this conversation for just a little minute.
It's been going on for like an hour.
Do you have some real nervous issues going on? Because
you
braided both sides of your hair.
Okay.
What are you doing?
So I washed and weared. That's not a thing. Huh. Okay, no, there's like a reason for it.
Okay, good.
So I washed
Is it called
and
grammar?
Wore out the house today. And this under part of my hair gets really frizzy. So if I braid it, then it makes it a little bit more silky and it gives it like more wave. So it's not just...
It's braiding,
weird
it's
and
braids
frizzy.
With a purpose.
It is braiding right. with... No, it's not like a weird nervous tic.
Okay, I didn't understand.
Anyway, back to me. Marnie,
I think Marnie had something with the mud running.
I saw
a picture on Facebook just posted moments ago.
I got what?
Yeah, Aaron Henderson, you're lovely.
Yeah,
and trusted.
Tagged everybody.
Look at you, pink hat on backwards, running in the mud, and you apparently had shorts on, but you can't tell because the color
body of mud.
Oh, did you do the 5K thing?
What the fuck did she add?
Not the Pride one.
Oh, she.
Although the Pride 5K, 10K was actually also record breaking. They do a Phoenix Pride 10K, 5K.
Yeah.
They broke records in terms of participation. And
I had no idea about that until I saw the sign on the sign of
Fast Sign.
And just in case you choose to take it offline, I've already saved it to my computer so I can have it forever. Just so you know. Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah. No, it's a great photo, Mark.
That's the joy of the world wide web.
Look at you. Look at your face. You're genuinely excited and happy. Look at the smile on that.
Yes.
Or are you spitting out mud? I'm not sure which one.
No, because the it's just very exciting to see all of that. And I love it when people know that you're going to feel really good about yourself and they still go for it.
Yeah, okay.
Anyway, that doesn't cause problems.
Oh, Ernie.
Anyway, it was something like you know, why not? Well, you know, we're there.
I love it.
And we're there. And my deal, like, I get a little fussy about touching
cleanliness,
things. And especially, like, with my hands.
Yeah, because you're not a handshaker.
Mm-mm.
You're kind of like Howie Mandel.
Mm-hmm. Like, we're good.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Or hi. Do that.
Yeah.
Wave.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Terribly sorry.
And But when we got there, the first thing that we got to, the first mud thing, I was like, and it was very, like, a hard, just mound of mud. And then on the outside was a little bit, like, watered down. I thought, somebody needs a hose.
Okay, where was this?
New Mexico. Well, East Mesa. Same thing.
Okay. And then explain, if you can, in brief, what exactly is this mud run? What do you do?
It's
obstacle course?
Obstacle course. Right. Okay. So there...
I could not do that.
There it's a 5K. Like 3.2 miles, whatever. Okay. And you go, like you had to walk over these things, you know, like when you have to go through the tires.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You ever seen that? So it'd be similar to that. This one thing that we had to do, crawl through mud, like underneath these things.
Like you're literally on your mm-hmm. elbows and knees, mm-hmm. just crawling through mud.
And the thing that was hard with that is that it's grainy. So it's like, ow, uh-huh. you're sensitive, poor little thing. And then we had to...
exfoliator is what it is.
Right.
Look at it
that's
that right, way.
And that's yes. what they say, exfoliate.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
No, I want to exfoliate on this
you
run.
Go,
is there more pictures?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
There's a rope thing, you know, those things that you have to climb up, like yeah. Jacob's Ladder-ish right. kind of thing. Yeah, so as we're climbing up that, and we're next to each other, I look over at her, and I'm like thinking, I said, I wonder who last tested these. You know, you'd look down, and there was like this pole that was kind of swinging. I don't know, maybe a little skosh nervous.
Well, don't they just put it up that day? I mean, isn't it all new?
Kind of what it looked like.
Okay, and, so it's like a carnival.
other things where you had to like step up on it and then jump up and over. Very officer and a gentleman.
Okay.
And I climb that wall.
You felt like you were in police academy for just a minute?
Mayonnaise.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I'm with you.
So there were different obstacles, but the last one that they have where all that mud came from is when you get to the end, the last thing is that, and it's filled with mud. So it's just like these other two that you have to go through, except for a lot more water. They had the hose at that one.
Yeah.
Right.
And so we got in, and there were people that were coming out of there, not muddy.
Well, no.
Yeah, there are some people that are like, wait, because I'm looking at the picture of the five of you girls.
That's what I'm looking at.
And Hannah has nothing on her.
Some are like just little mud legs. Some are like a little bit of mud. And two of y'all are like full body mud.
No, not even Aaron's not that. But no. Like, Marnie, you look like you walked in mud up to your arm.
I went
and the other girl.
I got in. That my back is that color of pink that you see. But I got in and I just stood there for a minute and I'm like, okay, I'm here.
Got it.
And so I got down. Erin was up ahead of me. And when she turned around, she was like, oh my God.
Whoops.
But the last one, like the last thing that you have to go under, you know, whatever, the little...
like a limbo?
Yeah.
Mud
and
limbo?
It was, so here's the mud and here's this thing. Like, so it was maybe like and I looked up and I'm like, no. And I like looked at that. My face is not going in that mud. Like, that's not going to happen. But I went up to there and I was proud of myself for doing that. Because that's...
It looks super, super fun, Mom.
It was. It was. I was glad that we got to share that. And share the pictures. I think that's exciting.
Yeah, I knew you wouldn't.
Yeah.
I don't think I could do that.
I don't know that I could either.
I have no plan for mud.
No.
Yeah.
No plan B on that, Al?
No.
I was actually more okay with it than I thought. Once we got through the mud, I would be like, okay.
Was this... Now, you're saying you're going through it. Now, was this just spur of the moment, hey, it sounds like fun, let's do it? Or because of your aversion for mm-hmm. something like that, is this kind of a bucket list thing?
You know what? I didn't think it was, but you know how like after you get something done during the day and you have all these other things on your list that you didn't get to, but you feel really accomplished because of that one, you actually write it down and then cross it off?
Okay.
Oh, yes.
Have you ever done that?
Oh, I have done that.
Right.
Yeah. I do that with like my normal to-do list.
Me too.
All the time.
So that went on my bucket list and now I've crossed that off because I've done that. Getting past that was kind of a big deal because I just don't...
Right.
I don't like that. And it's in the middle of the desert. So I'm walking like...
Hence the graininess of the mud.
Right.
Oh, yeah. How many scorpions are cooling off in here?
What's out here now? Yeah. So I was excited about it, though.
Scorpions are cooling
right. What's happening out here? So, but it was really fun to share that with her, so that was good.
Well,
so
that's good.
She's invited us to participate next year. Team Q Talk America.
There you go.
And I'm in. I'm in, Aaron.
And you two enjoy yourself, because Al and I are going to be at the VIG smoking with kids.
Yeah, I'm going to be smoking with a baby. That sounds healthier.
Much better.
You guys come with. Just hang out. You could do commentary.
Are there beers afterwards? Because a lot of those races, there's beers after. And that's
I would
really
think
the
there would have to be a lot of beer before for Al and I to do this.
Yeah. Shots.
You know, once you got me out there, I would scream and yell and bitch, but I would do it.
in that shirt.
And then I would have a nervous breakdown.
Well, and we had
because I'm covered in mud.
We had kind of an incentive. There were some really great people that were ahead of us. And they go in like 15-minute blocks. And these really fun people were ahead of us where they were like cheering you on. And, you know, you can do it. Blah, blah. It was very cool. And then there were the Mormon moms behind us.
Oh, goodness.
And like a lot of them. Like a lot.
Yeah.
Like a whole ward. And so they would get close to us and we'd look at each other and be like, you ready to run a little?
Yeah, that was your motivation.
It was
Let's
total
get
motivation.
Away from the weird moms.
Because I don't want to be near them.
I would like let them play through, you know?
No, because then we'd catch up. It was one of those where you're like, no. Oh, they were all
judging. Oh, I thought maybe you and Aaron just start making out in the middle of the mud thing.
She would have.
The Mormon moms would have been like.
Yeah, she would have. I, on the other hand, no.
Said nay, nay. I say nay, nay. I say nay, nay.
So, yeah, there'll be no physical contact during the mud either. Because
totally.
I don't want to be muddy and I am not touching you while you're muddy. Nah.
And we're in the middle of the desert. I don't know where they can hide us.
Let's all go wash our hands. It'll be foreplay.
We got back to the car and you know,
rinse twice.
I like it. We got back to the car and you have a change of clothes and I thought, how in the fuck does someone gain weight doing this race? Because I mean, I have my tire, but then I'm like, my God, it's become more. And then I went like this with my shirt and mud just fell out on the thing. And I thought, oh,
I did that.
When somebody give me to a shower.
I need a shower. Yeah.
Stat.
In Maui, like, I did the road to Hana. Mm-hmm. And then I found out that there's nothing at Hana that you have to go. Even worse, 9 more miles.
I remember you talking about that.
And then there really is a waterfall to hike to. And you can, they're like, well, this
I haven't done the waterfall to hike. I did the same thing. I drove up there and I'm like, what the fuck is
right,
this?
Right, but you got to keep going. The road to Honda, there's more. They just paved it. It's in the last couple years. It's 9 more miles. It's not wide enough for 2 vehicles. And I came in contact with 2 tour buses, one on each way. And one time I almost went off the road. It's a terrifying 9 miles. But then
that sounds scary.
So you get to the end, and it's a little bit of a destination. There's finally something. There's a bathroom, but nothing to eat or drink. And they're like, well, you can go and do the garden hike, which seriously you could do in a wheelchair. It's not a hike. Or they're like, you can hike up to the waterfall. So I was like, well, I drove all this fucking way, and I hate all of you, so
I'm going to hike up to the waterfall.
How far is the waterfall? And they told me, and you know, it always rains. It's a rainforest. So as I'm going, and I thought, oh, this is easy. And then I got to the mud part of the trail. And I'm like, all right, I'm not going to step in the mud. All right, I'm not going to get all the way in the mud. Okay, I'm not going to fall in the mud. Right. All right. And I just was covered. And at one point, I actually went across, because you had to cross 2 streams, as they were calling them. Right. One was a rushing river.
Right.
And I seriously had my old flip phone and my iPod up like this, going across like I was in war, trying to keep the electronics dry. I came across, and I'm just soaked through.
Sure.
In this, I'm like, all right, I'm here. And the guy's like, oh, not quite. He's like, it's actually over there that you're trying to get to. So it was one more thing. But you go through like a bamboo forest and all this stuff. And it was absolutely beautiful.
Better human being
to be in the
silence
with all the bamboos. Yeah. And I was by myself. So like there was whole parts of it that I was just alone in a bamboo forest. And that was terrifying.
Yeah.
But I get over to the island and I'm finally there. And I'm like drenched and covered with mud. And then you looked up and it looked like the waterfall was coming from the clouds.
Wow.
It was so high above. Cool. That you couldn't see the top of it in the rainforest.
Pretty.
So it was like the Empire State Building high of like.
And in fog.
In fog. And it was absolutely gorgeous. But then you have to walk back. And I hadn't eaten because it said 36 miles. And I'm like, well, what's that, 45 minutes? I go, I'll see whatever the fuck I'm going to see. I'll be back in an hour and a half. Oh, no. They meant 36 miles driving 1 mile an hour. So it took forever. So I had back and I had to eat. And I walked into this restaurant looking like I had had diarrhea for like a good 6 weeks. There was just brown shit dripping out from my underwear.
Yeah.
It was like in my shorts. It was everywhere. I left the sneakers.
Yeah.
When I got back to the hotel, I wouldn't go in the room with them. I just put them in the dumpster. And I'm like, well, no more sneakers
for
the
trip.
Yeah,
you could donate your shoes here. You can donate them.
So
I've done
a volcanic mud thing. And that shit don't wash off.
No.
It was like 3 days later and the nether region still had a...
A coat?
A crust, yeah.
But it's fun to do. And I've done more. I mean, I'm sure that anyone who knows me from before that seeing this is like, what the fuck?
The hell'd she do?
Yeah, how in the world? Because when we went up to the natural bridge, which had nuts and bolts on it, so I'm not sure how natural it was. But we walk across and like all of a sudden I'm doing these hike things and I'm putting my hands, like I had to put my hands down and there was this moss. That took me to a whole new level. That was new.
Touching
and
moss.
trying to get past that because it freaks me out.
Oh yeah.
But you know, then I'm like, well, I did that. Not dead. All right.
Survived.
You know, yeah.
First, so, you were afraid. You were petrified.
Yeah. Wondering how.
Right. How. I totally understand. Totes stand.
Yep.
Totes stand.
Totes stand.
Totes Gloria. So.
Perkins, you were riding around town with smoking babies.
Oh, that's it was a fun
now,
party.
Now, what did you do? You went to the art museum today and saw the Hollywood.
I'm going to lump that into entertainment. But because I think it's going to, I'm assuming it's part of a nationwide tour. So
mm-hmm.
probably. So
I'll tell you about that. But it's been lovely weather, so I'm taking advantage and been outside on the bike and getting a little color.
Good for you. Which one? Nice. Which color are you going to stick with? Because there's so many.
I don't know. I'm not going with this one.
Oh, yes, indeed. Well, there we are. We've wrapped it up. We pretty much covered everything I've done by what they've done, except for the mud and the blood and the beer.
And the babies.
Right. There's that.
Right.
7:49, we're going to start with our lovely headline section right about now. Oh, I used the wrong one. I hate when I do that. I used the entertainment one. Flyer. Anyway, it's all good. It's headlines on Q-Talk America. Exciting stuff starting, after our show. Topless woman goes crazy at a McDonald's.
Hey, wait, I forgot my heroin.
New atomic clock is more accurate than before.
What not to wear.
Nursing home hires stripper for elderly residents.
I hate my job.
Birthday card arrives after being sent in 1969.
Anyone notice the twins haven't been around?
And sorry you were dumped by a text, but hey, the parting gift is so sweet. These and more lovely stories coming up right now on Q-Talk America. Oh, we are going to start in our favorite place. Let's all go to Florida.
Love it.
Oh, welcome to it.
I have posted this on our Facebook page. Find it often. Find it early. Pinellas Park, Florida. A video of a topless woman vandalizing a Tampa Bay area McDonald's has gone completely viral on all over the internet. Pinellas Park police say that the incident happened on March 24th. But the video actually didn't go viral until literally today. The video shows a woman clad only in bikini bottoms inside a McDonald's. Shows her going behind the counter, overturning cash registers, throwing food, eating soft serve ice cream right from the machine.
Right out of the tap.
Right. Also French fries. Police say the woman, who is 41-year-old Sandra Suarez, She was booked in the Pinellas County Jail on charges of criminal mischief and resisting arrest. She was released on March 29th on $7,000 bail. She has retained a public defender and could not immediately be reached for comment. Now, what I consider the worst part of this entire story
is that it was just considered mischief.
What is funny to me is if you go to the link on YouTube or just Google woman goes crazy McDonald's, I'm sure you'll find it. The worst part of the story is that the franchise owner of this McDonald's said in a statement that all the employees who released the video, which they shouldn't have now been terminated.
Oh,
so I'm like, oh,
she calls all those people jobs. Hopefully they'll get their jobs back.
But when you watch the video, because what it is, it's somebody showing it on like one of the security screens in the McDonald's. So somebody's like holding their phone videotaping the video.
Oh.
And you can hear all their comments and they're just laughing hysterically at this woman. Look at this bitch go crazy. Look at, oh, now she's going for the ice cream.
Oh, they need their jobs. Back.
It is.
What else are they going to do in Pinellas,
awesome.
Florida?
And hilariously funny. Don't fire them.
Yeah.
Too late. Too late. But I thought that was the worst part when it got to the end. It says the franchise owner has said in a statement that all employees who've released the video have been fired. Oh, God.
That's fantastic.
If you haven't seen the video, please look it up.
I didn't realize you had put it on Facebook. And so I watched it and I was like, oh, my God. We got to do this on the show. I'm like, and it's from Florida.
Yeah, perfect.
It just works out.
And the funny thing is, again, I look at the headline. I'm like, oh, this is a great story. Mm-hmm. And fucking sure, it's Pinellas Park, Florida. I'm like, really?
So clearly I don't check anything before I just open it up like, surprise!
Surprise!
Yeah. Here's a video. Sorry about your computer.
Yeah. Totes bad. All right.
So Carlos Tavares. Mm. Tavares.
I go with Tavares.
I have no fucking idea.
Okay.
Poor little delicate flower.
Sure.
Accidentally left 250 bags of heroin in his rented car.
Ready for rectum.
No.
If only.
Rented car.
My bad.
And $2,500 worth it was. And he, how do you forget that?
How many bags is that?
250
bags, right.
Well, you said it was 250
bags and it was $2,500 worth.
God, no wonder.
So
everyone's
$10
doing
a bag?
Shit. Jesus.
They were, wow. They were like the little, apparently, that's all the things that were found at Philip Seymour Hoffman's.
God, that's so awful.
Well, I'm judging by the ruler that it's not. I mean, I actually, is that a lot?
It says, I have no.
I'm just trying to do the economics on heroin. Yeah.
I don't, but
apparently it's pretty economical. Yeah, this is why so many people are doing it.
You can just leave it in the rental car.
Yep. He was exactly. Meh. And I'm thinking that someone might be missing that. Not him, but whomever he is.
Selling to or buying from.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Somebody's upset.
He's from the Bronx, and I was hoping Florida, and it didn't happen. Of course. But from the Bronx, and so he rents his car in Manhattan. He says he's going to go to Boston. He gives him this whole story. I'm going to Boston, and then I'm coming back. And apparently he ended up via New Jersey and went to Newark to drop the car back off. And when he left, he just left the stuff in the glove compartment or... Like a compartment.
You'd have to think that was likely why he was heading to New Jersey. So how do you go there for that specific purpose and then just forget it?
Maybe he started
high
off
on heroin.
Yeah, 300
Maybe he was
bags.
High. Yeah.
And then he went, I forgot. He had the plastic bags were in the dashboard fuse box, so not necessarily in the glove compartment. He calls Port Authority and says, yeah, I left my children's medication.
My kid's medication
in the car. I got to come back and get it. Well, they had already found his little black bag full of goodies. Yeah, so...
Well, that's good that they do a thorough inspection, including this, you called it a dashboard fuse box.
Mm-hmm.
Is that something that's available in all cars?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Apparently. Yours has one or two, I'm sure, Alfred.
They discovered the bag, and it had the 250 of Fat Boy heroin.
Fat Boy heroin!
And that's what, with Philip Seymour Hoffman, they were all stamped a certain... certain thing. Anyway, he...
We know they're selling business then, don't we?
He was called back
I'm only doing skinny girl heroin. If you stamp it with Fat Boy, I won't even give you $20.
I'm not doing it.
Even if you put it on sale.
No, that's a commercial for Jenny Craig Rehab. but it was just funny. They call him and they're like, oh, come and get your bag. We found your kid's medicine. He's like, okay.
Oh my God.
And then he went back. Kind of got arrested.
Kind of.
He's in Essex County Jail on $150,000 bail.
For drug-related mischief.
For stupidity.
Alleged mischief.
Well, this next story is going to strike a chord, if not just, it's timely for Mr. Perkins.
Timely.
And first of all, I'd like to thank avid listener and friend Kat Carlson for this story, because she posted it on our Facebook.
Hey, Kat.
Had to get to it. There's good news for all the people who are sticklers for punctuality, and Marnie Ryer is not one of them.
I feel good about that.
The National Institute of Standards and Technology has a new, all-new... atomic clock that is supposed to not gain nor lose a second in roughly 300 million years. They've been testing it for a while.
300 million years, I'm hoping. Right. You can make that kind of claim.
The new clock was launched last Thursday and is located in the Institute's Boulder City, Colorado Center. I guess they have a time center there. The clock is the nation's civilian time standard. The U.S. Navy actually does all of the military times separately, but I don't know why, because it's the same time. The new clock is called the NIST F2. It's about three times more accurate than the old one, which was the NIST F1.
So that one's only good for 100 million years.
Maybe, I will
be in charge of all math tonight.
I
won't.
The Institute plans to operate both for a while and to use comparisons to improve them both. Because I'm not sure how exactly... God, I don't know how you measure that. I mean,
yeah,
it's kinda,
it takes 300 million years to lose a second.
Right.
Atomic clock.
Yeah.
Divide that by days.
Bob, there's a variance. Can we get you to look at this, Bob? The hell's that?
Do you get a screwdriver?
The horse is 17 feet. What is that in fingers? No, God
what?
Damn it.
Hands.
The horse is 17 hands. What is that in fingers? It's from a movie, State and Maine.
You fucked up the joke.
It's such a funny joke.
That's the good part.
There it
is. Like, huh?
It's like fingers. No, it's hands.
What is that in toes? I could have fixed it. Damn it.
Just double it and add 30. It's metric.
10 feet tall. What is that in toes? There it is. There it is.
So what's really sad about this atomic clock? Now, when I learned about it many, many years ago, when I found out, remember when you were little kids and they used to have the ham radios you could tune in, you'd hear the...
Didn't you live in one?
Not that clock.
Okay.
They had the metronome and it was at the tone. The time
movie.
Is 2100.
Okay.
Yeah. So I used to tune in when I was a little kid. I was probably 8, 9. I had one of those radios and I would tune in and I would go around the house and I was the one who figured out how to make all the VCRs stop blinking 12 o'clock because I would go around and I would set them all to the exact time.
All you
time.
Had to do was be under 40 and you could get the VCRs to stop blinking. Once you hit 40,
I still can't. No one can do that.
So I used to do all the clocks. I still all don't had get to be synchronized. And I remember even as a little kid praying for the day. I'm like, oh my God, if there's just a way that all clocks would be synchronized at the exact same time. And then, God damn it, what do we all have? Exact time on all of our phones.
Yeah.
I love that. You can't imagine how happy that makes me as just as a human being, just to have all everything synchronized.
It and
just,
everybody that got new phones over the last few months, mm-hmm. and we just laugh about it because, you know, the whatever.
The
now we're not a, yeah, now we are on daylight savings time. So it's we start daylight savings time, and we just sit there on Saturday nights into Sunday morning like, okay, when did the phone calls start? And they did. I got a new phone. God damn it. I'm like, it's called Arizona time.
Time.
It's
on every you can tell your phone
computer.
Where you are.
It's on every phone. Like, we are our own time zone. They're like, I know.
Fucked it up.
I didn't know what Arizona time meant. It meant you live in Arizona.
Means you live here.
What is that in toes?
And you really tell time.
Bring it back. Bring it back.
And you really tell you tell military time regularly?
Because I use it at work.
That's your jam?
All my phones.
But the problem is, I think 20...
I won't put it on military time.
Oh. I don't get it.
No.
I can't do math. I was told there'd be no math.
Favorite joke. Exactly.
So I don't do
here's
it.
Here's my other favorite
1600.
Joke. Just subtract 12. So what is 1947?
Oh.
But seriously, at work, I don't, like, I know the difference, but I write down
military.
2000 and 2200 as the same time. Like, I'll sit there at 10 o'clock and be like, oh, it's 2000 because 10 sounds like 20. And I'm like,
not right.
It is the end of hour one. We are at 2,800 hours right now, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be back with the drinking game and so many other things coming back. We got more headlines. Stay with us if you dare.
You've been listening to The Show on Q Talk America. This is Q Talk America.
The following broadcast contains adult humor, language, and topics, along with partial nudity. Actual knowledge is used sparingly. The show is a result of a lost bet and a bad game of rock, paper, scissors. It's The Show with Clayton McKee. And now, a man with a face for radio, Clayton McKee.
Well, good evening once again. It is 8:01 or 2001 hours. I forget. I know how to tell time militarily because I used it in broadcasting, just like Al uses it at the restaurant. Very busy things. Anywho, no matter what time it is where you are, thank you for listening to us, whether live or on the delay.
Do one more story.
We have several more.
I know, but before you do the word of the day, because I forgot it.
Oh, got it. I see. Well, good. Glad you told me because I'm just ready to go right into that.
I know, and I'm like, I had it and I forgot.
She wasn't ready. It's all right.
We've already used it like twice and I can't remember it.
She can't remember.
Can we listen back to everything that's happened so far?
Anyway, we are here in Studio C coming to you live from Phoenix, Arizona, alongside Katie June, Marnie Ryer, Al Perkins, and me. I'm Clayton McKee. Thank you for being with us. As we continue on with our headlines, we turn it back over to Marnie Ryer.
So what not to wear?
Oh, there's so many things.
So many, well, I mean, I'm wearing it now. But before he even left the house, 21-year-old Ross McMakin.
Irish boy.
McBacon, what?
McMakin.
McMakin.
Mm-hmm. Of Oregon.
Oh.
Of Oregon. We're going
to the western.
To the upper west coast, yeah. He was wearing a shirt that kind of got him in trouble a little bit later on.
Drunk as shit, it says.
Oh my God.
It's a good choice.
Yeah,
for night
I
out
like
drinking.
How it. Well, this is the story I found on my own because it made me laugh.
Me too.
Okay.
Made me laugh.
Stupider than shit, too. That's what it says on the back.
If you can't read this, turn me over.
I'm a dumbass.
Yeah.
How many hands is that?
Yeah. He was arrested for DUI.
No! Say it isn't so!
And made sure to confess the crime before he even left the house with that shirt on. You know, drunk
now,
as
did
shit.
It say, now, does it say in the story, did he leave the house already wasted? I'm just going for more beer, guys. I'll be right back.
Yeah.
I feel like, no. But you never know. That's usually in Florida.
You never
know. Where they're leaving to go to McDonald's twice and getting the two DUIs.
Sure.
He was driving on a sidewalk. He striked a parked car.
And that's profiling because they were stopping every
this
car on that sidewalk that day.
They were. Well, he also assaulted his girlfriend.
No.
Which is not okay. Obviously.
Violent as shit.
Driving on the sidewalk.
She doesn't even like salt.
And striking the parked car is okay, but not assaulting his girlfriend when she tried to take his keys away. But all that doesn't fit on a t-shirt. So he's a just pretty focused good, on the drunk part.
He's a pretty good sized boy. I'm sure we could change that font and get more out of it.
Oh, it saved tax dollars because wearing your own confession on your chest,
yeah,
you know, makes it a little bit easier.
Yeah, and they don't have to feel, they don't have to test you. No blood test.
Yeah. Prosecution. You're
giving
rests.
It to him. Right, so, exactly.
So does he rest
ladies and gentlemen of the jury, yeah. Exhibit A.
Right. We're guilty. Just going to go with the shirt, Your Honor.
We have nothing more.
That's it. We rest.
We just present him.
We are done.
Josh McMakin, ladies and gentlemen. Or Ross McMakin.
To my left.
Josh is his drunk
cousin.
Drunk
as shit, yeah. Thank you.
Besotted. He told police that he was driving because his girlfriend couldn't drive a stick. Well, that's what she said
all right.
earlier.
I have, that's I why have actually, he I've been in that situation.
Yeah, but you were sober and buying your car.
But my t-shirt said, sober as a judge.
Right.
And favorite. She can't drive stick.
It said that
I like sticks.
He didn't have an I have no idea what a taxi is t-shirt. That's where I was done. I love
There's
this.
A lot to read on that shirt.
This confession wear has a long history confession. In the world of drunken douchebag fashion.
Confession wear?
Confession wear, I like it.
That may be the title.
Yeah.
Confession wear.
I need to Google that.
I thought that
confession
was awesome.
Confession wear.
It has a long history in the world of drunken douchebag fashion,
oh,
it says.
Please. Oh, please. Well, name some other shirts. Are there?
There actually
drunken
are.
Douchebaggery.
Drunken douchebaggery. I will find them
my God.
As you go to the next one.
Is
but I
there
will.
Seriously?
I have it. Yeah, they have.
I love that history. Confession wear.
Have you ever seen
it's
that?
Awesome.
Have you ever seen that? I'm with stupid T-shirt that
yes.
points up and they don't know it.
Oh, uh-uh.
The people that have bought the I'm with stupid yeah. T-shirts, but they forgot to like
that's
buy the one that points to someone else.
Oh, right,
always a favorite.
And that's don't you feel bad for the one who actually gets talked into wearing the one that says I'm stupid?
Yeah, yeah.
Just I'm stupid.
I've seen that.
Yeah.
Really.
Of mice and men. So, yeah, I don't.
Mice and men.
Both mice and men.
Let it go.
So, there was a beautiful movie version 20 or so years ago, and a really sensitive friend of mine went to see it
beautiful.
Who fancied himself an actor. And he goes, oh, he's kind of retarded. What was the loss? And I was like, okay, that's what you got out of that?
Wow.
It was back in the days where the word wasn't offensive.
Oh, right.
Before we continue on.
It was back in the Barbara Streisand
the link
days.
Because they're,
you got to post that on our Facebook or something. That's funny. So we have confession.
I'm not an alcoholic. I'm a drunk. Alcoholics go to meetings is one of them.
No, oh, she's seen that. And who hasn't really seen
now
that?
Now you can play the disclaimer. No, right,
you. But wearing that when you get caught. That's funny.
Before we continue on with our headlines, we've got to take care of some business. And this is what we call our drinking disclaimer.
And now, a drink along. We dare you to stay awake during this royalty-free music and to play a drinking game with us. If you are currently or soon to be driving a car, you cannot play. If you are presently the primary caregiver for children and or the elderly, you may desperately want to play, but... No. If you are listening from a rehab facility, you are disqualified because you already hit bottom. And that means you already won this game at least once. If playing this game is in any way illegal for you, put the bottle down and make better life choices. There is no good in your goodbye, and there is no lifeguard on duty, so you will be swimming at your own risk. Tell your lawyer to take the fucking day off. You can't sue us. We warned you. Good luck.
Well, our word is besotted.
Can you use that in a sentence, please?
I keep drinking and now I'm besotted.
Oh.
Or we have the backup word that I've been saving for a long time because I just love it. Dipsomania. Alcoholism.
Oh. Technical term.
I like it.
Dipsomania. So wait, let me write it down. What is it again?
I'm not a dipsomaniac.
Besotted. B-E-S-O-T-T-E-D. But the dipsomania is so much fun because it's specifically in a form characterized by intermittent bouts of craving for alcohol. Well,
oh,
what other kind is there?
God, I really need a drink. Oh, that's besotted.
Oh, you're a dipsomaniac. You'll soon be besotted.
Besotted. You bastard, you're besotted.
And I love it how it says... You can either manage it or search the web. Oh, so my iPad allows me to manage my dipsomania.
Dipsomania.
Very nice.
Sounds manage like it. Yes,
well,
please.
That's easy. If only the other people, like Bill's Big Book of Dreams or whatever it's called.
I remember Beatlemania, and it was totally different. I don't remember it as much as I remember hearing about it.
Can also mean strongly infatuated.
Oh.
Yeah, drunk with love.
Drunk with
will.
Love. Oh.
Okay. Oh. Yes, he became besotted with his best friend's sister. That's gross. Who is, why would that be a definition?
Who is a dipsomaniac? Oh, speaking of people who've got urges and need things, let's go all the way up to Long Island, where they're getting jiggy with it up there. Oh. A nursing home is being sued after workers of the nursing home allegedly hired a male stripper to put on a show for residents.
Cheaper than Viagra. Wow.
The multi-million dollar lawsuit was filed last month on behalf of Bernice Youngblood, who is an 86-year-old dementia patient who is a resident.
And poorly named.
Right. Oh, there's a worse name coming up. She's a resident of the Nursing and Rehabilitation Center in West Babylon. Now, Youngblood, who has partial dementia, was subject to an unwanted performance by a male stripper and, quote, photographed by nursing home staff as a muscular, almost nude male dancer gyrated in front of her. Now, according to the lawsuit,
Did she want it at the beginning?
Youngblood said that she felt terrible. There was a lot of shaking going on, and he was telling me what to do. Attorney John Ray says that he, the stripper, had a fistful of dollars in his hand and was putting dollars, and she was putting dollars in his pants up on his demand. His leaning over her, not just standing there, was intimidating to her, and this might be great for 32-year-old single girls, but not an 86-year-old traditional African-American woman who doesn't want white men sticking their private parts in her face. The lawsuit claims the woman's son, named Franklin Youngblood, found a racy photograph of his mother's belongings in her nightstand in her room.
I think we found the cause of the problem. Mom's pretty happy.
In 2013, when he tried to ask the head nurse, they shouldn't use words like that, about the picture, she lunged at him and tried to snatch the photograph out of his hand,
maybe
according to the lawsuit. The lawyer says, there's too much sex and craziness going on. Now they're bringing it to the nursing home, and it don't belong here. So he's apparently a grammarian.
Yeah.
Said Franklin Youngblood, who again is the son of the 86-year-old woman, adding that his mother was forced to tip with her own personal cash, which is supposed to be kept under lock and key by the staff. His brother Daryl Youngblood and his other brother Daryl then called.
Even if it's not true, it should be.
Has to be, right.
His younger brother Daryl called and spoke to another nurse who told him that the performance was, quote, an entertainment event at the nursing home and was planned, scheduled, and executed by the facility, its agents, and the employees, and it was all done in good faith, the lawsuit stated. Now, she also told me it was in all good fun. And it was like they acted as though it was something normal. He said that the patients all voted on it. It was approved, and then it was scheduled by the staff of the nursing home for a celebration.
You know what? If it keeps, you know, you need a couple less blood pressure pills. And you know that what the stripper was telling her wasn't like stick a dollar in my purse. It was put your teeth back in your mouth,
something,
lady.
Right. Now, if you go to our Facebook page, I'm not sure, but the picture that's associated with the story on our Facebook page, I'm not sure if that's a belt or if he's just happy to see somebody. I'm not really sure.
He's besotted with
The attorney representing the facility said that the 16-member panel of residents voted unanimously to have the stripper perform, and the nursing home approved the activity and paid a $250 fee. There is nothing inappropriate about it. These are adults, he says, adding that Youngblood had fun and was brought down from her room to the event even by Franklin Youngblood's live-in girlfriend, who they say appears in the photo. Now, the family denies the claim that she's even in the photo at all. They say it's just a staff member. But they are calling the striptease grotesque and claim that the employees did it for their own sick amusement.
Yeah, because what you want to see is a hot young guy rubbing on grandma in diapers. Right.
Okay, threw up a little bit in my mouth.
Teeth back in, sweetheart.
Teeth back in, lady.
That makes no.
I'll give you the dollar back if you put the teeth back
in. Wait, but this is a really good picture.
Yeah, the picture, have you seen it? I don't know if that's really part of it. But that's the picture.
Hungry hippo.
What's he got? Discoteca? What is it called?
Dipsomania.
Yes. I'm drunk in love for that.
But he's besotted.
I'm not sure that isn't just like a file stock photo, or if that's just a
stock photo.
Jesus,
good Lord!
He was white, she was black. So that picture, and it may not be right.
Something in the photo looks off.
And apparently he's looking for water because it was pointing.
Yeah.
It was those divining rods. He's like, oh.
At the zoo the other day, one of the orangutans was straight up giving head to the other one.
No.
No.
Orangutan, ape, something. Some kind of animal.
Yeah, sure just, the big orange ones with the thing.
I don't know.
Next to the orangutans.
Oh, yeah.
We have a big red butt. Baboon?
The baboons.
No, I don't know. Bear Fest was
ones,
in town.
It's the ones that they have a little habitat for, and they just brought in the younger one to like calm the other one down.
I think those are the chimpanzees.
Like, you figured out how to calm them down.
There you go.
But it was the mom and dad ones that are now suddenly peaceful and blowing and getting a little head.
Kind of.
Explain that to children.
Yeah.
It's better you have a cigarette at the
now, this is a...
Just let's go smoke at the Vig, babe.
Now, son, when you're older, this is what you need to calm down. By whoever is willing to do it.
Just
no,
say yes.
No shame, son.
Well, there's nothing better of a stenographer. That, you know, if you have a stenographer, there's nothing better than an alcoholic stenographer.
Oh, do you have dipsomania?
Yep. Dipsomania.
Oh, there you go.
And she may be bestotted.
Stenographer. Because they cause chaos. If they just type gibberish.
Oh, sure.
Because they're to be keeping track.
No.
No, they are. They are. So this.
Knit one, pearl two, who skips their ox on their own day.
Far more. There was nothing vague, nothing like, you know, kind of out there about this one. Daniel Kochansky, 43 years old, was typing gibberish. Also typing, I hate my job, I hate my job, I hate my job, I hate my job.
Because nobody looks at those
Wait,
records.
How old was he?
I hate my job, I hate my job. 43.
Well, all you got to do is. Can you read that back to us, sir?
Yeah. This is easy.
Fuck you guys.
I can do a blind. I hate my job. I hate my job. I hate my job.
Seriously, that's all I heard. All I heard.
Charlie Brown's mother is now doing on the stand, ladies and gentlemen.
I don't know what you're saying, but this is what I'm hearing. So I typed it accurately.
I'm typing whatever I want.
Just as it sounds.
Phonetically, it says I hate my job. Yeah.
Oh my God, I said the funniest thing today.
You mean to sound it out?
Yeah. I know. The best thing. Phonetically is not even spelled with an F. Who made up that fucking word?
I like that. Awesome. It makes me want to become besotted.
That really made me laugh today.
That's funny. Well, this
sound
guy,
that out, bitch.
That's right. Work that out.
Reading Rainbow My Ass.
It's in the phonics work for me. Take a look.
S-O-C-K-S.
Thirty cases were affected, and the appeal of 10 convictions could hinge on the sabotage of what he this guy did.
Saboteur, that's a good word too.
Saboteur. He has a drinking problem, they pointed out.
Clearly.
And was perhaps besotted at the time of said incident.
Apparently, he
and
hammered.
Disgruntled.
Disgruntled. Yeah.
That's for damn sure.
Sniff him when he walks by.
He was besotted at his job. They're rushing to try to repair this damage. Because these cases going through the appeals process.
If only someone had written down what they said. Oh.
Or recorded them. They record. Don't they record everything these
maybe
days?
Maybe now, but... Maybe
you would,
not.
I mean, you would hope so, but right. We really can't put one more person out of work.
Yeah.
It's a stupid job, but we're going to need you to type down everything, even though recording device has been around for like 140 years.
That is really weird that they have that,
I'd like a written transcript of the Donahue Show from 40 years ago.
Yeah, please.
Send a self-addressed envelope to White Plains, New York.
It's supposed to just be these questions and answers. All it was gibberish. And so he had this meltdown, apparently.
Did he set the
They compared it to Jack Nicholson in
The
Shining.
All work and no play makes Jack a dull boy.
That's right. Typing that again or writing that.
Oh my God, that's crazy. That's crazy pants.
So that's what he was doing. He was fired, which is weird.
Sure.
And, well, I would then think that he would be arrested because he's interfering, contempt of court or something.
Oh no, obstruction of justice.
That's even bigger.
They have,
I watch a lot of police shows.
All these convictions are being now.
That's right.
Kind of gone back to.
Yeah, they can.
Some are happy, some are sad.
Some people are like, yes, we got the drunk guy. anyway, he was arrested and forced to make sense of the shorthand mess.
There's no way.
He couldn't. What are you going to do, remember it? You're hammered. You were hammered when you typed, I hate my job, I hate my job. And now you're...
Oh, I think this is the part where she said there was pubic hair in the underwear.
No. Let me make it up. What was the case again? Yeah.
Exactly. Oh, 4259. Nope, that was on TV last night.
No, I remember everything. I just hated it so much I couldn't write about it.
And then Detective Benson said,
Nope, wrong show.
Not real life.
So they were shocked that even that failed, that they couldn't get him to recall
they were
those things.
Shocked.
Expenses and time out the window.
Does he work for Malaysian Airlines?
He's disappeared.
Yeah.
Can't find the transcript.
They put together reconstruction hearings in which everyone in the case has to testify what they remember because of this guy.
What a bunch of shit.
What state is this in?
In New York. She's in New York.
Oh, wow. Let's go commit a crime, people.
Right? So,
got an ace in the hole.
It's difficult to come up with this. He hates his hole. It's just hysterical to me.
I can't make you feel good about your hole if you don't feel good already.
Apparently, being a stenographer, and I don't know. I do not know because I can't type to begin with.
And that's like witchcraft typing.
Have you ever seen one of those
things? Yeah. Well, I've only seen it on like Law and Order, things like this. Perry Mason.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ironsides.
Exactly.
Ironsides. The original. Just one side, ma'am.
His wife that apparently he lost and his job. Ironsides. The pressure of that job pushed him over the edge.
Ironside, I'm sorry.
And he lost everything.
Ironsides, I think, is the first submarine that ever sank in the Civil War. Honest to God.
Yeah, but it was also...
Ironside is the cripple
Raymond
that
Burr,
solved crime.
That's what I'm talking about.
Side. He's only one of them.
Side. Oh, yeah.
Singular. Singular sensation. You roll around in a circle.
No, both wheels worked. Okay. He could go forward and back.
If he just held one, he went in a circle.
Yeah. Then he could do that thing where you lean back and he's rolled around.
He says he did his job 100%. So just so you know, you can feel very comfortable.
100%.
That if he were your stenographer,
we're
safe.
Well,
safe by the...
safe. Oh, just the law. Did you see the poor fucker that got hit by the baseball right in the face?
No.
It didn't feel good. I don't know why.
But I'm going to Google it right now. It's kind of funny to me.
Does he own a ballpark now?
Yeah, right? Yeah.
Well, he will tomorrow. Yeah. Today he's in the hospital recovering from a
super sorry.
Actually, baseball straight to the face.
You take a chance going in there.
Oh, yes.
Turns out that helmet, that little Phantom of the Opera thing he's wearing doesn't cover the whole head.
It was a player?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he was.
Oh, I thought you meant someone
in the stands.
Oh, no,
batter.
Got the full 95 miles an hour to the face.
Fuck that.
Man down. Man down. Not besotted.
Oh, that makes me just sick.
Wow.
No. Well.
Anyway.
We got a 412 man down. Man down.
White man down.
I don't know what color. It was blue, black.
Red.
Ugly.
Well, as much as we enjoy our emails and our very fast communication, neither rain nor sleet nor the passage of nearly half a century could stop the postal delivery from getting done what they needed to do, which was deliver a letter. A Brooklyn woman was shocked when she received a weathered, kiss-sealed letter last week that her mother had sent for her 19th birthday in June of 1969. The wayward letter arrived...
That is not 50 years ago, by the way.
It's
not.
The wayward letter arrived at the childhood home of Susan Heifetz in Sheepshead Bay in New York on Wednesday, prompting a baffled tenant to seek out the intended recipient. The man found a phone number online for this woman who happens to be a real estate agent, and he gave her a call. And he said, well, I have a letter for you. He goes, and the only reason I'm trying to find you is because it's postmarked 1969.
Wow.
So I figure I only have mere seconds left.
Right, right.
So, the woman, she said, well, her late mom commonly sealed letters with a kiss before mailing them to family members.
That's gross.
So when she dropped, sealed with a kiss. She dropped in on the Good Samaritan on Friday on here at the East 12th Street building where she grew up. She immediately recognized her mother's lipstick on the back of the envelope.
Oh.
She said, I was very emotional about it, but it's really crazy that her Max Factor lipstick 45 years later has not faded. Inside was a tender birthday card dated June 27th, 1969, wishing her health, happiness, success, and a long life. It started out, dear daughter Suzanne, her mother wrote at the top of the card. The first thing she wrote was Mazel Tov, and the bottom was signed, Love and Kisses, Mama Molly, and Daddy Sam. The funny thing is that she said that she'd been planning to move to Las Vegas, but she had some reservations about leaving her New York roots.
And then when she didn't hear from her mother, she thought, fuck it, I gotta stay.
I gotta stay. Just
so, bitch is mad at me.
She's looking for
she
me.
She feels like now that this is a stamp of approval that her mom is still watching over her some 45 years later. Now, also, and this is what gets me about the Postal Service. So mysteriously, this woman also received two other letters, both dated 1969. One was another birthday card from her brother, who's
that's
still alive.
Bad day from that.
And the other,
she had a shitty birthday.
And the other was pinned by an old boyfriend of hers who was leaving for Vietnam.
Oh my goodness! Wow.
The letter from the gentleman who went to the service says, "Remember me." It was postmarked October 25th of 69. So we got a span of June to October. So I don't know, was there just a box?
I think that the guy that's now a stenographer used to be a mailman.
He just forgot.
I hate my job. That's funny.
The woman,
I gotta go get a beer.
The woman said that the interesting thing about the letter from the serviceman was, she goes, "I recall him trying to get in touch with me before he went overseas, but back in 69 there were no answering machines."
Sure.
But so she remembered him trying to get in touch with her. I thought it was kind of cool.
Gosh, what a crazy thing.
But what makes me wonder is, are there just boxes of letters like, okay, I don't know what this is, so we're just going to set it on the shelf, and it's been there for 45 years, and like, oh, we got to process this.
Yeah,
yeah, who goes in there and says, I'll take box number 24?
45 years, and I mean, because I'm wondering, these can't be the only three. My assumption is there's probably several, and they've shot all over the country,
yeah,
and somebody's getting like a late statement from a doctor from 69. And
No wonder I had to go bankrupt.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Well, I mean, you get wrong mail all the time, and you never know. Sometimes you just do throw it in the recycle bin. Because you judge, that's not important.
I mean, it's not a
but if it looks that's like a card, I always put, like, not at this address, yeah, or once right, try again, or something.
Yep.
Better luck next time.
Oh, you know what I do?
You're fucked. They don't live here anymore.
What I do, if letters show up that I know, if letters show up that I know are, like, from companies or from mailing, like all the catalogs and all that shit, which not much shows up here anymore because I've been here 13 years. Sure. But back in the day, what I would do is I would literally call them on their 800 number, and they'd say, "Look, you're sending a letter to Susan Smith at this address. She doesn't live here anymore. I don't want your catalog. Stop." Because I'm trying to, A, quit wasting your money on all this shit, because I ain't buying this crap.
Yeah.
And number two, just, Susan doesn't need your shit either. I'm trying to save her.
Let me just tell you about Susan. She's besotted.
She killed her kids.
Yeah.
Said Susan Smith. I
yeah, believe. Actually, backed him right up into the river.
And I also, and I've actually opened.
How did I figure out which Susan you meant?
Collection letters have shown up.
Love it.
Collection letters have shown up for people. I call them. Not at this address. Don't you dare come knocking on my fucking door.
Oh, yeah.
Those ones that look like bills, I write "not at that address" and put it back.
Well, I open them and call them.
My mailman's, we're in a personal relationship. I'm like, take that shit back.
Yeah, I know. But, I mean, Ray's been the postman here for 35 years. But, I mean, he knows me, but still, if something slips through on a day when he's off or something, I'll deal with that. But it's funny, again, but 45 years, where has this mail been? Sitting in a box or just, I don't know. I just
or just floating from address
but
to address to address.
But I just love that she got it.
I love that she got it,
I love that it had the lipstick. And what a great thing to hear from your mom, like, randomly.
What a rally for Max Factor Cosmetics.
Oh, seriously.
Hadn't faded in 45 years. Who knows what's in that shit?
We don't know.
Got it.
We do not know.
It might have been what killed Lucille Ball.
Or the woman's mom. We're not sure.
That's entirely possible.
We don't know.
I don't think so.
So,
it's probably more likely the cigarettes than it was
I'm
the
guessing
Max
so. Edit voice like this.
So I'm kind of wondering if anybody has seen the twins recently. Not these twins.
Oh.
Apparently, according to Kat Carlson, I touch the boys a lot here. I don't know if you saw
She's
that on the
watching.
Yeah. On the touching my boobs again.
My boobs.
God is watching.
Do you remember a couple weeks ago we were talking about that gal who, I don't know, just kind of died 6 years ago?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Money,
right?
And they found her in her garage?
Yeah.
In the back seat of her car, mummified?
Mummified.
Absolutely.
6 years. Just disappeared. Nobody paid any attention.
But it's crazy to think how much money she must have had in the bank because everything got paid.
Right. So weird.
Everything
that
got paid.
That was, honestly,
oh, that was like Barbara
that was
Seville.
My first
Barbara
thought.
Seville. Wasn't Barbara Seville here that day? She'd be like, they'd find me 3 weeks later. Bitch, pay your rent.
Rent wouldn't be totally, you're right. It would be
rent wouldn't even be due yet. And they
right. I feel like you're going to be late.
You better go knock on her door. She is besotted. You better remind her how
She's
that calendar works again.
For years.
Sorry, Barbara.
I love it.
But I'll back the bus up and get it off you.
You have to wonder, apparently, with the articles now that are coming out. Okay, maybe not all of them. There have been two.
Three, because there's a member of the man, too, that they found in his living room that no one had checked on for like 4 years, and his kids open the door, and they're like, oh, dad's dead.
Oh, no.
No.
I didn't talk about that
one.
Did we?
No, it was right after the woman that was mummified, and
I
then they found the guy
sitting,
he was sitting in his living room, like still in the jaunty pose he died in, and
in the jaunty pose, can you give us what that jaunty pose
was? He like leaning on a banister, like, and no one came through the door, and he was like,
winking
in a snuggie,
winking a little gun, yeah.
I hadn't
And it, beer in hand.
It was the family that
he
found,
dropped the beer.
It was his caretakers that found him because they had no one had cared well, or taken.
No one, yeah, apparently
in
they,
4 years
they shouldn't get paid.
Was, but it came. It was like right at the same time that they're like and another dead body that was
I
found.
Hadn't
but
heard
this,
that.
This one people should have been missing him.
Right. Yeah.
But apparently there's twins apparently. Involved. We're yeah. missing yeah. twins
this is in Chattanooga. Chattanooga police discovered skeleton twins. Dead in their house for 3 years. 3 years.
Oh, these are the brothers.
The brothers.
Oh, because this makes it sound like it's because when you hear twins, you think they're
kids.
Five.
No, yeah. I know it. Okay. Yeah, these are 63-year-old men.
Yeah.
That they were. Sometimes you just can't help it.
They're
I don't
in bib.
Care.
In my mind, they're in bib overalls
and with like moonshine.
A, hey, kind of
right. Right. Yeah. Forget,
it, stereotypical. Forgive me, Tyler.
Sorry, Tyler.
I know. They were each seated in their easy chair
God
inside
bless.
The modest home that they had shared for
modest.
Decades.
That means dump.
Totally.
Double wide.
Yeah.
And apparently they died together. Well, it really
it's
doesn't look
upper.
Too much like a dump. It doesn't look too much like a dump.
No, that's a full house.
Right? Well,
they call them modular. The
Joey doesn't live
that's
there.
That's the other seven houses in my neighborhood.
Yep.
Yeah.
I mean, it
I'm
going to
check
lovely.
Them all for dead.
So,
if you don't see any lights on, call someone
so,
for a check.
Okay. So they're in their
they
chairs.
Had, they had been there. No obvious signs of foul play. Excuse
How
me.
Weird.
Right. Right. They were... This is a mystery to like all the neighbors because they saw them working in their yard and they always had masks on. Like whenever they would see them out there, they always had masks on. So no one knows if they had some kind of health problem. So the whole thing is just kind of.
But to die at the exact dead. Same time in the same.
And or the one sat there sad because the other one was dead.
Sure.
Right, that's what exactly
sure.
what
or
I was thinking.
It was
but if
suicide.
They're both sitting in their easy right. chair, I mean, that means you had to leave the one there.
That means they drank the Kool-Aid.
Unless you
exactly.
like,
drank Kool-Aid.
Get out of my head!
Yeah, there's yeah. A, there
exactly
was
what I'm
a
thinking.
Little bit of skin left on them so that they could do toxicology. So that has not come back yet. The autopsy is
and the rest
confirmed.
Of critters ate.
Well, they got in there and they chewed them up.
Oh my God, wait a minute. There's we have another story. We continue on.
They hadn't seen the brothers in at least a couple of years. Obviously, the three was at a gas station.
Yeah, remember
that
those two
them?
Guys who used to wear masks all the time? Anybody
yeah.
seen them?
Anybody see, not working in the yard? And again, what caught my eye with this wasn't just that the twins. And then as I read on, remember with that lady, the 6 years in the garage, someone had mowed her lawn.
Right. They just helped her out.
Same thing here.
Mowed the boy's yard.
And they had taken care of it. Nobody knows who took care of it. No one has
and
come
nobody bothered
to, say,
to go.
That is so weird.
But that's why, like, the trees look overgrown, but the grass is mowed. Like,
yeah.
That's the weird part of it. Is so, oh yeah, they were murder.
Murder was it?
There's been a murder poo. You know what they did? They found a SketchUp in the attic of some
Maybe
old fucking
did.
Lady that.
Oh my
them.
God!
They were besotted when they found it.
And then I solved it.
And now
it.
We have to play this.
Yes.
Just
I'm
the
like
facts,
watching
ma'am.
Al yep. T. Perkins walk with a file folder yeah. down the hallway. Just the facts,
and
ma'am.
They would have gotten away with it if it wasn't for those damn fucking
Pesky kids.
Wait, that's Scooby-Doo.
The dirty Scooby-Doo.
Oh, we've put together like three different shows already. We have Dragnet, and we have
Sinister. And
yeah. Now,
yeah.
So we don't know. Something was wrong with them. They wore masks, but
yeah.
they may have been on meth.
We're,
we don't know.
We're thinking they
because if they were, it would have sounded
like fucking.
There
What in the hell was that?
Don't
What's
you
that
remember show like number
no.
three in the old studio?
Oh, well, probably not.
And I played that you all freaked out because you thought somebody was coming
oh,
in the studio.
Oh, yeah. We thought somebody was breaking into the studio.
I remember that. Oh, now I do.
Remember the bathroom at that first studio?
It was like a mile
it was
and
like,
a half
yeah,
away.
Like a death trap.
It was scarier than Cabin in the Woods.
It really was.
No, yeah. Marty, continue on.
Now, the rest of the story.
Tell that, Mike. Continue
wow, Jesus Christ. That was so loud.
Sorry.
Why is Grandpa shouting at me?
That's fantastic.
Continue on with the dead people.
They
I see dead people.
Two of them. And
they
look
did
alike.
There was a welfare check in 2011. And I don't mean cash. I mean, like, they went and checked on them. And nothing was a big deal. They didn't
nobody,
need to break
nobody
in
answered
the
door.
Nobody answered the door, but it didn't look like anything was wrong. And they made it a
okay.
headline. Who was cutting the grass? Like, they made that
no, because
part of
one
it.
Of the
some big deal.
Well, no,
yeah.
because that's someone
Stupid.
That knows it's something wrong. But the best
right.
part about these welfare checks, which always kills me, because remember the welfare checks
Bad choice
were on,
of words.
Yeah,
huh? Bad
yep.
choice of words. Always kills you.
Oh, yeah.
Besotted.
In my easy chair.
Yeah.
No, but remember they did the welfare checks on the On the house with the three captive girls in Ohio.
Yes, exactly.
Oh, absolutely, you're right.
They were doing welfare checks there.
Oh,
yes,
absolutely.
Because
they
did. He had a small child from That's another right. woman that would come, or his grandchild would come over
and visit.
And visit. And there was something odd about it. So there were actually people mm-hmm. that came over and did welfare checks.
Mm-hmm.
So because there he had some kind of a record that why he couldn't watch his grandchild, but there had been
right.
people there.
Yep.
But there's all those stories of the people that came and did welfare checks and. It really does need a different name.
It really does.
Yeah.
It really does. The thing
and they're like, well, the house isn't on fire, and I don't see a dead body hanging from a tree, so I'm going
to
go.
In situations like that, they really need to go room by room. Because if they would have found all these
kids. But now that goes against a
search and seizure.
Search and seizure kind of thing. Sure.
God, that's so scary.
Fourth Amendment.
Dope, right? The neighbor's name is Maffitt. And I don't know if anyone else goes to Silence of the Lambs.
Oh, yeah.
With Moffat.
Mrs. Moffat,
and
yeah.
And so I'm reading this.
Esther Moffat.
I clearly need to go back and rewatch. I don't know what that means.
Do you have a tuffet?
She sat on it.
Yeah.
Eating curds and whey?
But I read that and I'm like, ooh, I bet she's scary.
Esther Moffat.
This Mrs. Moffat. They had valid driver's license. They, as far as becoming hermits... It just kind of happened.
It's not the hermit's part, it's the dead hermit's part.
The dead hermit's part, exactly.
So whoever did the welfare checks clearly was also the stenographer. And then what job were they shitty at over on your side of the table?
What? What?
Take two stories ago. We had the court stenographer taking over a job for you.
Oh, the postal service was
right. Exactly. He was a mailman. Okay. He did welfare checks. He's now a stenographer. Okay.
He's bad at everything that he does.
And then there were old people at a restaurant with a stripper. So
there's all kinds of things happening. Right. Eating ice cream like crazy.
More ice chips, please.
I put a thing in my phone to kind of try to follow up on this. I'm intrigued to see if the toxicology report comes back.
I do want to find out more about
that. The one thing that I go back to, and this goes right back to the house next door when before I bought the house, then at the time, and I think you were around here, and I called the cops because the house was abandoned. It wasn't abandoned. The guy moved somewhere else, was still paying for it, blah, blah, blah. And then all of a sudden the power got shut off.
Yep.
Well, we found out in the house was a brand new stainless steel Jennair fridge freezer full of meat.
Yep.
Well, in March, the power was cut off. Well, about June, July, we're like, wow.
That? Yeah.
What in the hell? Yeah. So I actually called the cops, and the cops pulled up in front of the house, and the first thing he said was, not a body. He's like,
okay.
He said, because if it was a body, you would have smelled it from the end of the block. It wouldn't have just been in the driveway.
Really?
Yeah. Oof. So. There's two of them in a house. Unless it is hermetically sealed like a mason jar, how is nobody noticing
that? Well, the neighbors aren't that close.
True, but if you're mowing the yard, you're close to the house.
Yeah, oh, no, that's true. That's true.
And it's going to seep out.
Or it's like Seven where they have all the thing is filled with air fresheners.
Remember? Oh, God, yeah, that's
when you walk
right.
in the room and there's like 7,000 air fresheners hanging to keep the body. So gross.
But I think they would have mentioned, because that would have probably led to foul play.
I'm guessing. Right, no, right.
Yeah. Well, they were very hygienic. There was over 7 million pine tree air fresheners.
They liked the pine tree scent. Because the woman...
Twins who loved air fresheners found dead today.
It's the smell of clean, baby. It's the power of pine salt.
The gal...
Today on Hoarders, we found all the missing...
We found the twins.
All of the missing... Wait,
and all the green, missing green trees.
This leads us back
wondering
to
where the new
all
car
were stolen from AutoZone.
Harold and Fred smell like the new car.
Yeah.
Totes clean.
Totes clean. God.
Yeah, totes pine.
We've made fun of so many dead people.
The thing with the lady in Michigan was that she had state. She was in kind of a sealed.
Yeah, she was in the car, right?
In the garage.
In the garage, it was.
Right.
So she mummified, whereas these guys, it said there was some skin left, so they would have decomposed.
Right.
Yeah, and so, then critters. I don't care what.
Oh, I don't care, yeah.
Right, it's still coming to you.
Yeah.
I left grapes in my sink once, and the critters came. Granted, I was out of town for a week, but
exactly.
still, grapes.
Yep,
the critters
absolutely.
Come.
TV was gone. Grapes were good.
Separate trips.
Is that what we're calling burglars
two
these
separate
days?
Trips. Two entirely different stories.
Shame song.
Yeah. Shame song.
Well, as we wrap up our lovely headline segment, we're going to go to really close to Al's home. We're going to go to Buffalo, New York.
Oh, that is very close.
A text message to his jilted fiance has cost a Western New York man $53,000.
Oh, and you even said it correctly. Western New York. It's not upstate. We're Western. I know. I'm very
reading,
proud.
Reading right? copy. Louis Biltner Jr. broke up with his bride-to-be way back in 2012, simply sending her the bad news by text message. And when his girlfriend, Krista Clark, replied angrily, he texts back this. Quote, plus you get a $50,000 parting ring, enough for a down payment on a house. He shouldn't have sent that because, well, those fateful words convinced the state Supreme Court judge that the ring was no longer involved in a marriage contract, but it was now a parting gift.
Oh.
Billeter had sued Clark to get the ring back, but the Buffalo News reports that a judge ruled last week that Clark was entitled to the white gold 2.97 carat diamond ring and its fair market value of $53,000.
What? I love it.
Yep.
Bill Tier's lawyer declined comment.
that is why I do I love it. Not believe in getting married.
No,
that's why do you gotta give somebody a fancy fucking ring?
I want one.
There's so many reasons.
I want one too, and then I also want to keep it forever and ever. Even if
it all goes to hell.
But I always say you pay.
Oh, then I'm gonna sell it.
Then I'm gonna sell it. Yeah, or like
pay for it yourself.
Make a diamond. Make a necklace.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You want it? Pay for it yourself.
Make me something pretty.
8:38. It's time for entertainment and Al Perkins.
In the shortest entertainment section ever. A lot of people died.
Yeah. Yes.
Some of them you don't. David Letterman announces his retirement.
Oh, I'm dying.
Rosie O'Donnell to get an honorary Tony Award. There is a fake documentary out using people's names and voiceovers that's got everybody very upset.
Boy, I've heard
of
that.
I have the disclaimer from Kate Mulgrew for our Trekkie fans in the audience. And I got a little...
Something else.
Astro Glide for you.
Oh! Hey. As opposed to elbow grease, which is totally different.
I couldn't think of what that's called. But anyways, if you go outside tonight in Tomo, you may have missed it, depending on what time it is there. But I'm thinking with... So I don't
really tomorrow
know.
It's tomorrow afternoon there.
So it might be about to happen in Australia then right now. But at this particular moment, if we go outside, it'll rise in the east because it's following the path of the sun.
Okay.
Mars is in the eastern sky tonight and will...
When the moon...
No, yep.
It's supposed to be very bright.
It's 10 times the thing. And usually, you know, Venus is easy to spot.
Wait, and what time can we see this?
It should be right now if we go out and look to the east because the sun just went down a little while ago.
I feel it would just be funny if we all got up and left.
Yeah.
And then just
yeah.
all came back.
We'll be back in a minute.
One at a time. So it'll travel across the sky.
No, collectively.
Play yeah. a dance yeah. break.
But it'll, over and over and over.
It'll travel across the sky like the sun, not like Venus sits by the moon. This one is because it's between the Earth and the sun. Mars has come between us. And so you can see it. So it's always cool. And it only happens, this is the brightest it's been since 2008.
Okay.
Cool.
And nice. It'll be visible like in the morning sky in a couple of weeks on the same day, like in the April 14th.
I'll probably see that.
Next
one.
Monday. Yeah. Next yeah. Monday it'll be the morning sky. Yeah. But you'll be able to see it all night because it's kind of orange. If you were ever a kid with a telescope, Mars was always easy to spot because it is kind of orangish, reddish.
I went once to the Lowell Observatory in Flagstaff. When I was in college, I used to go up there and smoke weed a lot. So I finally decided I should take the tour. Like, I'm going to go when they're open and actually take the tour. And
were you stoned for that? Because that is the best time to go.
Yes, I was. And it was really cool.
Oh, and you know they're all pot smokers up there.
Oh, it was the coolest thing. And they have, like, they had all of these telescopes. You know, they have their gigantic telescope, which discovered Pluto, which is now a planet again. Yay, Pluto.
When did that happen?
Right after Mickey said, no, it's okay.
Yeah.
What the fuck is Goofy?
Yeah. So, but they also had all of these different, like, little telescopes set up along the walk, and it was like, this telescope is set to Saturn, and this telescope is set to blah, blah.
This one's still Hotel Monta Vista, so you can watch in the north.
And we watched the red sun that goes around...
Jupiter.
Thank you, one of the planets.
I think. Not the red sun, the red moon.
Red moon.
I have several minutes.
It was such a cool thing.
I have dance breaks queued up. Should we all go out in the backyard and look right quick?
I feel like yes.
Let's go. Come on.
Yo, dance break.
Okay.
We'll be right back.
30-second dance break. Seconds of jelly jiggling fun. This is your 30-second dance break.
And now, we dance.
Oh my gosh.
It exists.
It exists. We saw it in the backyard.
I got a couple of photos. So I'm going to upload to our Facebook page so everyone can see what we just saw. I
mean, that makes for a stimulating talk radio, doesn't it? For
us we leave.
We leave and we play dance
now
music.
Now it's listen radio. Well, that makes sense.
We just found the North Star.
So keeping with this theme, and I can't find the name of this movie, but so I'll read both parts. But Kate Mulgrew, who was one of the Star Trek Star Trek Voyager, mm-hmm. She was the captain, and she was the female captain. And she has lent her familiar voice, and you may remember her from Ryan's Home.
Uh-huh,
she was very famous. Yes. She was Mrs. Columbo.
Yeah,
she had a pivotal role on Cheers. She's one of my favorite actresses.
She was on Cheers?
She did. She ran for the mayor of Boston, and she was Sam's former lover, and that's what drove him back to Diane's arms.
Okay.
For those in the know. So
I did not put that together.
She has lent her familiar voice to the principal, an upcoming documentary about the belief that the Earth is the center of the universe. The film has been in the works for a while, though it's mostly been as ignored as those who have propagated the theory that it's called geocentrism past the 17th century. But that's all changed with the release of a trailer that finds Mulgrew's familiar voice intoning everything we think about our universe is wrong, before a montage of physicists offers vaguely articulated assessments of how unique our planet is, seemingly in support of the idea that everything must therefore revolve around it. Some of them stand before whiteboards with calculations written on them. The evidence is compelling. Now, Kate Mulgrew in this...
I gotta look her up.
He's right a here. Famous physicist.
From Orange is the New Black.
Oh, yeah. She's on Orange is the New Black now.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Like her.
The woman has never not worked.
Yeah.
Okay, so now we go to...
Are you better, Katie? Because
turned
the air down.
Because she was in, as you said, the principal. But that, so you said you
the
didn't
principal
know
is
the
this
name.
New, I just found it out. I followed something else because the AV club has followed this. But according to Mulgrew, she too was misled, as was... okay, so this Lawrence Krauss, he's a very famous physicist, and he put an article in the Slate saying, "I have no idea how I ended up in that stupid geocentrism documentary." And he claims the producers must have taken clips of him that were in the public domain or purchased the rights to them from some other production company or simply deceived him as to what their project was about. And he sees no need to sue over it because he feels it elevates the profile of something that shouldn't even rise to the level of popular discussion. Unfortunately, Captain Janeway is in it, so here we are. But according to Mulgrew, she too was misled, and her comment is, "I understand there has been some controversy about my participation in a documentary called The Principal. Let me assure everyone that I completely agree with the eminent physicist Lawrence Krauss, who was himself misrepresented in the film, and who has written a succinct rebuttal in Slate. I am not a geocentrist, nor am I in any way a proponent of geocentrism. More importantly, I do not subscribe to anything Robert, this guy, has written regarding science and history, and had I known of his involvement, would most certainly have avoided this documentary. I was a voice for hire and a misinformed one, and I apologize for any confusion that my voice on this trailer may have caused." Kate Mulgrew. She's just horrified. Because all the geeks in the world, I mean, these are people that speak Klingon to each other.
Right,
so we got a little bit of mental illness going on.
And some of that bestia, what do you call it? Dipsomania.
Dipsomania. They're besotted with her. She truly is one of like the great icons of science fiction because she is the first woman captain of those. Yeah, I love it. I saw a bright orange dot in the sky. Meow, cow, what were you thinking it was going to be?
Hashtag lucky.
Portrait of a kitty? Duck! Or a picture of that scary woman that he found in his attic that came to life and killed two
twins.
That could be it.
You don't really have to say two twins, right?
Yeah, I think you should get a frame.
I'm going to put it right there.
Put it right across from me. Fuck with me that way.
Right over Katie's head.
So in a surprise announcement that was only shared with, and I can't remember if it was, I can't remember if he actually shared it with Les Moonves.
But yeah, David, he called him. He called him before the show.
Just before taping, and it was only leaked because someone in the audience was a performer of some kind and retweeted it because they had made them take their phones up. For some reason, he was allowed to keep his phone on during it. There's some great mystery as to who the person that tweeted it was and why they were able to have their phone on. But he announced it because they tape at 5 o'clock for the 11 o'clock broadcast. Mm-hmm. And he surprised everyone and said he was retiring at the end of his 2015 contract. There was a little bit of suspicion all along since he only did a one-year renewal.
Do you think he was just waiting for once Leno's done, then I'm going to be the last one to go out?
No, because he had already become the longest-running late-night talk show host in history. So he already had the record.
I think I would have wanted to wait until...
Well, he already hated him. Maybe it was year by year until then.
Yeah. Once he says he's done, then I can say I'm done.
Oh, yeah. And watch...
Yeah,
watch,
I'm not going to be done before that asshole.
Right, yeah.
Watch Joan Rivers go off on HuffPost Live with that little cutie patootie, the gay guy with the beard. May not be gay, but in my mind he is, because we're going to get married.
Because we're on HuffPost.
Oh, my God. He's so cute. But anyways, Joan Rivers does an interview about what a fucking dick Jay Leno is and how much she hates him.
Oh, wow.
She's like, I get Johnny Carson being mad. Oh, and you know, and in the interview, she says that this whole shit about her never talking to Carson about her leaving was all
a lie.
Yep, that he would not come to the phone, and that his wife, I think Joanna or Joanne was the name.
They all started with a J.
They all did.
But Joanne was get the wife. Towels.
Is that really serious? All of his wives?
Yeah. All of them.
Oh, interesting.
Joanna, Jan, Joe. They were all started because the man just wouldn't get new towels. That was the joke.
I got one set of fucking towels.
That was the joke.
On Craigslist, looking for a woman,
but
starting with Jay.
I'd like to add my initials to my monogram.
Thank you.
I'll just Gershwin it for you. Yeah. So she said that he lived in some funky house that it didn't have, that was all like mirrors and all windows.
In Malibu,
and that she was calling the house and Joanne was telling her, oh, I'm not sure if he's here. And she's like, well, look. There's nowhere to hide in that house.
Right.
And that she tried to call three times and that she wanted the announcement to come, but he wouldn't come to the phone. So she has a very telling new interview. It's on HuffPost Live.
Oh, I'm going to write that
and
down.
And it was very interesting, her comments on it, and then why Jay Leno never let her on and just how much she hates him. And it was really kind of funny because Joan Rivers, not much of an internal editor.
No, not at all. Now, did Leno claim that he was upholding the wishes of Carson by not having her?
It never said.
It never comes out?
And would never return her phone call.
Just wouldn't do it.
Just a dick. But you know, he just can't take any kind of edgy humor. Like, you have to soft pedal everything.
No, right.
He's born without a spine. All that bone went to his chin. I can't stand him either.
I like how Letterman's are like.
Yeah, I wasn't a fan of him.
I just don't think he's funny.
I was never
he's
either.
Just not funny.
The one thing
he gave us Ross.
He gave us Ross the Intern, and I do appreciate his love of old cars. I really get that.
Sure. Yeah.
But what I thought was funny is what Letterman said is, now Paul and I can get married.
Yeah. But it really sounded like Paul didn't know. It honestly sounded like.
And you can't tell me they are so stuck at the hip. The second Letterman's gone, Schaefer's out of there.
Oh,
you
yeah.
know he is.
And
were they saying that someone's going to take over for him?
Well, no, but usually whoever comes in brings their own.
Oh, well, no, it's been talked about because I read this because to me Letterman, I just love Letterman. He's such a smartass, and that's why I've fallen in love with Craig Ferguson. And now they're saying that potentially Ferguson could step up,
or we could turn into a whole other Carson era where the heir to the throne is not bequeathed.
Because you realize Craig Ferguson is produced solely by Letterman.
Yeah, Worldwide Pants.
Worldwide Pants is him. Yeah. So he found Ferguson years ago and gave him the show.
What are you saying, the Carson era where no one has bequeathed the throne?
Because Carson was followed by David Letterman. That was the show afterwards. What was it called?
What did it go? Carson and then Letterman?
Late Night.
Yeah.
No, it's called
so they didn't
Late Night with David Letterman.
Late Night with
David Letterman. And now it's called The Late Show.
It was called Late Night under the assumption that he would take over, and then they screwed over David Letterman.
And gave it to Leno.
And gave it to Leno.
And Carson had nothing to do with that, according to what we all understand.
It was an NBC decision, and he just got fucked over, so he went to CBS.
Got it.
And that's where we learned about intellectual property.
Right. We talked about that last week.
The top 10 list, and he could take it with him and all that other stuff. And they even had to change, I forget what they used to call it, but because Paul Schaefer and that band had been with him even at NBC, and they had to change it to Paul Schaefer and the CBS Orchestra.
Oh, yeah.
Because they couldn't take the most dangerous band. Wasn't it something Paul Schaefer and the world's most dangerous band?
Something like that.
Yeah. So
how bizarre.
The intellectual property that he's
well,
right.
Well, just like you talked about with Chelsea Handler, you guys, last week. Chewy.
Yeah. Yeah.
But now
he owns Chewy. He owns that idea.
Right. So, but the thing is that Chelsea Handler is becoming, we don't know if Craig Ferguson even wants it.
Right, true, true.
He could be quite comfortable where he is, and he's got good ratings.
And I love, the set, everything he's got, it works perfectly for him. I mean, he's got a fucking robot for a co-host who's run by a brilliant comedian live. Yeah. I don't know how that would translate to that different time slot.
Right, and so that's what they're saying is...
I've never watched Craig Ferguson.
I think he's hilarious.
He's just watched the monologue.
I've never watched
him. Exactly. Monologue. That's exactly it.
And he'd be the worst person to see live because the monologue is done inch from the camera.
He has been sober for years. Yeah. Years. I can't imagine
but he was like hammered.
Do you like... this is totally...
Besotted.
Besotted.
This is totally a stretch out of the entertainment. Well, it's still entertainment. And I hate to interrupt you because I realize it's your show.
You're in.
Okay, so I'm going to guess because I know how you are. Do you watch the show? Why am I completely MythBusters on Discovery Channel?
Oh yeah, I've seen
okay.
That.
So I'm going to script. I don't know his name. The Asian guy who does all of, who builds their shit and does the robotic stuff. He was commissioned to build Jeff, who's the robot on Craig Ferguson.
I didn't even know there was a robot.
No, so they built this mechanical.
Oh,
this mechanical skeleton robot who has a big steel mohawk and they have him in a suit and everybody he has a Price is Right name tag that says his name
and so what is it I'm googling
he's
the robot
just Jeff G-E-O-F-F okay. is the name of the robot anyway he's run off stage by a live comedian so he banters live with Craig
and
the funniest thing is Craig will just throw it to him and he'll have him outro to go to commercial and this writer whoever the guy is must be writing script as he goes because he outros and includes everything that they said in the monologue and throws it to commercial and it's always funny.
Yeah.
He has two people dressed up in a horse outfit and it's secretariat and they keep him in a stable off the side of the stage and then he runs on stage and dances.
It's fucked up.
It is fucked That's up funny.
But his monologue
I see him in a lot of costumes here, Jeff.
Yeah,
the robot.
There's Jeff.
Yeah. And his monologue is done 1 inch from the camera. Like he does it in extreme close up. And it's so uncomfortable.
I think
funny,
it's fantastic.
It's fucking when he hits because you're so uncomfortable watching something that close to the camera.
I don't think it is uncomfortable. I like having him right there because literally, if you think you're close to the mic here, he's this close to the mic.
Yeah, but it's the camera, awesome. And he's just in it. And it's to me, I'm like, if you saw that live, you'd be like, can you step back so we can see you? Sir?
They even have lights within the teleprompter of the camera to uplight him because he's so close to the camera.
Yeah, it's just a weird little trick that I've always enjoyed from him.
I enjoy him.
Since Craig Kilborn left, I have always liked him.
And I never was
never
a big Kilborn
was a fan,
but
of Craig
Ferguson, I'm good.
Oh, Kilborn, I like from The Daily Show, on over. Like
and
I followed.
Ferguson's also a musician. The Open where they're going
and
all over Hollywood.
Really
CBS 11:30.
Yeah, he's on right after.
I'm actually going to do. I'm going to do some online. I'm going to leave it up. It's going to be one of my late night views.
Just watch the monologue. That's all you need.
Yeah,
I have a thing which has been pointed out before. The where you get annoyed because. Certain accents, there's certain things that I can't.
Oh, no, Scottish
like,
is hard.
He's
Scottish.
Scottish
is really difficult for me to listen to. And so, I'll sit there, and if I just have it on, and I'm not watching him, I just have it on in the background, and I'm working, whatever, I'll catch things, and I'll just start laughing.
Mm-hmm.
But otherwise, there are definitely, if I'm watching him, I don't know why, but connecting with his... when he's talking and his accent and everything, it's just too much. It's like too much stimuli. and I'm like, okay. And then the robot comes in, Jeff comes in, and I'm like, okay. But he's really talented.
Yes. The guy who does Jeff also switches voices, and he's got an old-time phone, like would be on Andy Griffith, the old Katie.
Yes.
Yes.
No, I'm listening. I'm one step ahead about another comedian.
Grandpa's gonna need your attention.
No, so the guy that does the voice of Jeff, who's so talented, occasionally he'll make a comment and he'll be like, God, it's just like if Matilda were calling, and boom, there's a phone ring and he picks up a phone that has no cord to it.
Yeah.
And he talks
Matilda.
And it's Matilda. It's the same guy. And he talks to him as this old lady who calls the show to harass him. It's so funny because
I've got
again,
it pulled up.
He the best part about that comedy is he references things they've already talked about, so it's always timely, like right within what they're doing. It's just fun. It's like with what we do, like when we say that it's he's bestotted or we're whatever the hell we're doing.
I'm going to check it out tonight.
When you can call it back. It.
Yes. Go. Continue on with your segment, Mr. Perkins. Got a couple minutes in this hour. We got time.
I have to throw this out there to anyone listening. My email
is... we're going fast tonight, I feel.
Yeah. My email is missyl@aol.com. I'm on Facebook. I need you to watch...
Spell it.
missyl@aol.com. I need you to email me or come to my house, but we have...
Maybe work that out.
But so anyways, there's an old horror movie from a few years ago that I always talk about being the scariest we've ever seen. And so yesterday I realized that it was early in the day and I could watch it because it's on the movie channel on demand. And it's called High Tension or Haute Tension. It's kind of French. It's kind of in English.
Right.
And I don't remember because I was so terrified. But it's the one where the guy, I was all alone in the theater. I had read the review and gone to the movie theater and I was all by myself. There was no one else in the theater. And someone came in midway through and sat directly behind me in an empty theater. I'm like, move!
Yes.
Get the fuck, what are you doing there? Move! You gotta move.
About that. I remember that.
So I finally got up the courage to watch it again. Awesome. And it turns out I was so traumatized by The Visitor that I forgot that this movie has this fantastic twist. So now I need someone to watch this movie and we have to get in touch and talk about it because... The whole thing about is it in French or is it in... I've talked about this. Like, there's a character that speaks in French and a character that speaks in English, and I'm not quite sure what's going on.
Go again with the name.
It's called High Tension.
Or Haute Tension.
Yeah, or, yeah. It's
Haute Tension.
Like, haute couture. Like, it's...
Ooh.
Okay. Oh, it's French.
It looks creepy-deepy.
Oh, my God.
It's European.
It's the scariest movie ever. But so watch it. Get back to me. I mean, it's... But be ready, because this movie... is gory, scary, ridiculous, and like it was seriously 11:30 in the morning, and I was sitting on my coffee table, like just ready to die.
I still don't get why you people
but there were so many twists and turns that I had missed in the first viewing, so now I want to talk to somebody about it because I'm so like, why did they switch from English to French? And what's this? There's so many twists and turns.
So many things going on.
It's the
end of hour two. We're in the middle of Al's entertainment section. Still coming up, Thoughtful Vulgarity. And, of course, Katie with sports and other stuff. Why would you leave now? We're in the middle of the drinking game. We're all ramped up. We got shit going on. We still have to talk about dead people. We're restotted. Or wasted.
Dead people.
I'm not sure what's going on.
That's for sure.
Stand by. We're coming back with hour three just moments from now, right here on Q Talk America.
You've been listening to the show on Q Talk America. This is Q Talk America.
The following broadcast contains adult humor, language, and topics, along with partial nudity. Actual knowledge is used sparingly. The show is a result of a lost bet and a bad game of rock, paper, scissors. It's The Show with Clayton McKee. And now, a man with a face for radio, Clayton McKee.
Oh, good evening, everybody. 9 o'clock. We are coming to you live from Studio C in the heart of Phoenix, Arizona. Thank you for joining us. As you do each and every Tuesday night, it's The Show on Q Talk America. My name is Clayton McKee. Thank you for joining us. We are here with Katie June, Marnie Ryer. Al Perkins is conveniently missing from the studio. Not sure why. We're in the middle of his entertainment section. Conveniently, we're in the middle
He's
of his,
to stretch it out.
His section, not for sure. It's 74 degrees. God, it's dropped, 7-8 degrees just in the couple hours we've been on. Coming to later on this summer, it'll be 147 degrees outside in Phoenix, but we'll still be coming to you live from Studio C as we do each and every week, bringing you headlines and beverages and all kinds of exciting things. And right now, Al's in the middle of telling us about, probably gory stuff for dead people. We're not sure.
Laura Branigan is online with us.
Oh, good. She called in.
Yeah,
Gloria. Gloria.
So, what is the comedian that you love on Saturday Night Live?
The gal.
Oh, Kate McKinnon.
Yeah. So we were talking about, I was at dinner with some friends, and we were talking about,
It's
Kate McKinnon. Yeah.
I just saw the chat room. I didn't realize what you, I thought you were joking about dead people.
No, Laura.
I did too. That's what I...
Gloria.
Laura said hi to Tyler earlier, and Tyler goes, Laura, who, Branigan? So Laura must have changed her name to Laura Branigan.
Yes, it is Laura
the
Branigan.
The aneurysm turned out well. Thank you.
Glad you didn't have
I think
that.
I got Let's your go. Number.
And she is always, always funny on that show. Like, even when the show isn't all that funny, she delivers the goods. Funny.
Kate McKinnon. So we were talking about her and funny, and then that cut to my friend Rachel that I was having dinner with, who said that this is her favorite comedian, she loves her so much. Is actually, so she's local, so she's in town, so for out-of-towners this won't matter.
But most of the show doesn't matter.
Stick with me.
All right.
So she is doing a stand-up live New Faces of Comedy event that I want to invite all of you to. It's on April 23rd. It's a Wednesday. So I don't know what everyone has going on, but I'm going to go.
I think I'm off that night.
And support her. I've seen her before. She's really funny. It should be a really fun show. It's all local comedians. It's downtown.
What's it called?
At the Stand Up Live at Cityscape.
Oh, fun, fun.
That's why I saw John Panette, who just died this past weekend.
Yeah. So anyway, it reminded me because we were talking about her and I said, oh my God, Al loves her so much. He'd probably think that really enjoy
that
her
sounds
comedy.
Fun. Oh, for all of us to go together, that would be a good time.
That would be really fun. So it could be like a non-Tuesday group gathering Wednesday, April 23rd at 8 p.m. Drink.
You guys have a great time. I'm teaching.
You already checked your schedule?
I just checked it.
Boom.
You can show up
video.
Late.
Right. It's at 8. What time do you teach until?
I don't get done until like 10:30.
Oh, yeah.
It's a long class.
Happen. That's sad.
Yep.
She's out.
Yeah.
Anyway, just wanted to put that out there before I forgot.
Again, name?
Her name is Rachel Evans.
Rachel Evans.
And she's really, really wonderful.
All right, well, I'm going to put that in my... I'm going to learn how to use my calendar.
I can. I'll Facebook invite you guys.
Laura Brigham. Why? Yes. Yes, it is.
All right. That is Facebook inviting you.
How are things up north, Laura? I'm sure she's having a great day. It's beautiful weather up there.
Well, it's a higher
invitation. And a Facebook invite Ernie as well.
Besotted. There you go.
In case she wants to join us. Yeah. Ernie has a Facebook
invite. Continue on with
your... I love it.
So we have our he was at one point on the dead person list.
Someone told me about the Death Den. Do you see something on the Death Den that shouldn't be there?
Anyone shouldn't be there?
Oh, Mickey Rooney made it.
Oh, my God.
I thought we erased him.
Nope.
Okay, hang on. We got to do this.
Death Den! Is that yours?
And yes. And look at the last one.
Buddy Early.
When he was here, he said he added his name. When you guys were
I can tell it's not Al's writing. I can tell that.
Oh, that is too
Isn't
funny.
That
yes.
Funny?
So
oh
wait a minute.
God.
So who had Mickey Rooney in the Death? Is it Marnie? So Marnie gets 10?
Wow, yeah. Marnie.
Because she didn't split that with
Very
anybody.
Very good.
Because he falls under the spunky
really
category.
Good. Yeah.
Shit.
So
we should revisit the Death Den.
I thought we erased him.
Mm-mm.
All right, number one with a bullet. Valerie Harper.
That bitch is kicking. Yeah. Really.
Oh, yeah. We're like a year later. She made it all up. Jerry Lewis, Kenny Rogers, famous for roasting.
That's
Phil or Betty Windsor.
Either one.
Nope.
Famous racists. Paris or Perez Hilton, depending on how you pronounce it. Nancy Reagan or Babs Bush will take any dead first lady.
Yep.
Abe Vigoda.
In a
Sally
surprising
Struthers,
turn of event.
Chokes on a sandwich.
Mickey Rooney.
Right? He's been out here so long, it's hard to erase.
Well, he was 93.
Wow. And Zsa Gabor in her one leg.
Most of her.
Still alive.
She has, well, and most of her is missing, actually.
Still standing.
Still standing. Leaning.
Still leaning.
Oh, right.
Who are we going to add?
Leaning Tower of Zsa.
Marnie, you get to like
Marnie's
replace
up to 20
him.
Points. Now,
Marnie, you are killing it.
I'm curious. Are these points on S&K green stamps? Do you get anything out of these?
We have never decided prizes.
We have never decided prizes. No.
But you get to pick the next dead person.
Who is
on
a good person?
Right.
May I think about it?
All right. Yeah. Sure.
And you may.
May I phone a friend?
Yeah, well, you can phone a friend, but you have until we start thoughtful vulgarity to figure out a dead person.
All right.
There's pressure.
And please, people in the chat room, if there's someone you'd like to see die, please.
Do not say if you really want them dead, because then they won't die.
Oh, they last till 93 on this board. So if you're looking for young and needlessly, not happen here.
So then how old is Windsor? How are the Windsors? They're got to be, one of them's older than 93, aren't they?
Oh, he is. Mountbatten. Isn't he, right?
Mountbatten shit.
No, but I think his name is Mountbatten. I'm always amazed that you guys don't know that much about the Royals.
Well,
but I think
I don't.
I think he's Mountbatten.
You know about everything, though. So
I know.
Because you're
a savant. Say about anything. Like, you really are. And I was talking about you to these friends, and I said idiot savant, but that seems a little more Rain Man than you actually are.
Yeah.
So I just said savant.
The Oscars.
Just go with idiot? I don't know.
It's hard to say.
I don't know.
It's not so hard to say.
But you just
goodbye.
Told us about the Red Sun, and now we're right. talking fucking right. Royals. You're like, yeah. I can't believe you guys don't know about the Royals. I don't know anything,
no,
really.
No. I actually know about A Candle in the Wind, and
Thank you, Helen Reddy.
Now, is it any candle? Any specific candle?
That's Elton John. Candle in the Wind.
Oh, and anytime someone dies, he'll write one for Mickey Rooney in about a day and a half.
Candle on the Water was Helen Reddy.
That's right.
That's
like, wait a minute.
Yeah. I do remember Candle in the Wind when Diana died.
Spencer's?
My love for you.
He did it for Ryan White when he died. I mean, we're on like our fourth version. Yeah. It's actually about Marilyn Monroe. So,
oh, totally. It's all about Marilyn Monroe. Yeah.
All I care about when I die is that I get a rewritten version of Goodbye and Niagara's Missy or something. You know what I mean?
Goodbye, Missy Al.
Yeah, work on it, queer. not you, dear.
I'm not a writer.
Okay.
I just play one on television.
I was going to be a sculptor, but then again, no.
No. I'm a tiny dancer.
Then again, no.
No. Yeah.
The moss kind of took
you
me off.
You were besotted.
Two different parts of that phrase threw me off. So Mickey Rooney, it turns out that I was standing in the coroner's office when he died. So I was
embarrassed.
I'm just kidding. Okay. Yeah. But it turns out I had read some like really quick, like fresh off the wire, not verified news source. So I was all offended that CNN hadn't picked it up and done anything about it. Because I'm like, okay, you guys have been reporting garbage in the ocean for 32 days.
Right.
A big star just died. But then I went to IMDb and EW and it was all like unconfirmed rumors. Right. And they didn't do the big star thing like they did with Bob Hope or anybody else. Like they didn't do it as a press announcement. They waited. They buried. They buried
no
it.
No pun intended.
What, his people.
No. Yeah, his family did a press. They just went to the coroner's office and filed a paper at the coroner's office at like 7 p.m. in L.A.
Okay.
Like that,
the rest of the world is sleeping at that point. Right.
And I don't know if you know that I was with friends that work in the news when Bob Hope died, and they waited and didn't announce because they didn't want because they knew everyone would come in for Bob Hope's dying. Mm. So they were like, we're going to announce on Monday morning. Like everyone knew he died on Sunday night, but they were like, we won't make an arrangement because we don't want to kill like everyone Sunday. And they were so kind to like what kind of thing it was. So this family did the exact opposite. So no one had things prepared. No one got the thing, so it's all been like Mickey Rooney died. It's like the longest film career in history. Mm-hmm. He has
really?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
From he was only 93 years old and he's been in movies for like 91 and a half years.
Yeah.
He's in the Guinness Book of World Records of like from the age of, I can't remember what the year was, 1925 to present. He was in a movie. It's in there, but
I'm on it.
Yeah, but he's in it. He was 86 years of filmmaking from his first to his last. And he was the Tom Cruise of his day. He was the biggest star.
Even though he was 5'2".
In
two.
The world. Not even 5'2". That's a big fat fucking lie. Because
there's not even
a picture.
Really?
There's a picture of him next to Judy Garland, who everyone knows was 4'11".
Tiny, yeah.
And he's shorter than her.
What?
Oh, really?
And there's a picture of him and Ann Miller on stage during Sugar Babies.
Okay. And she was not a short woman.
No, she was a tall dancer. Yeah, like she really did have the long legs. So he looked like Harry Potter next to her. It was ridiculous.
Right. Oh, and here's a great photo of him right on NPR, the homepage of him and Judy Garland. Mm-hmm.
He was actually really a really good-looking young man.
He wasn't. He slept with everybody. He was having affairs with Claudia
Colbert. Was he really?
He married Ava Gardner, the most beautiful woman in Hollywood at the time.
He was born in 1920. His first movie was in 1926.
Yeah, at the age of six.
The age of six.
He starred in over 200 films in the course of a turbulent career. He was 93 when he died.
Yeah, and he was one of the biggest stars in Hollywood. Like, he helped, and he went to the child school that they sent Judy Garland to. Right. He helped name her. He's the one that talked her into like changing her name.
Really?
Okay.
Gave that they were dear friends. And
very
when,
much so.
Okay. When she died, Liza wanted him to do the eulogy, but then just thought it would be unfair. Like they were far too close.
Because he couldn't.
He was the first guest on the Judy Garland show to help her out. Okay. All his different TV
shows.
Yeah,
that's true. Here's a picture of them in 1948 standing on stage. She's in heels and they're at the same height.
Yeah.
So he's... Wow. Well, she was tired. No. She's in heels. And the same. Well, he may
have
lifts.
Yeah, they say he stood a few inches taller than 5 feet, but...
Yeah, and by that could inches, just they be, mean nothing. Yeah.
Like that.
That could just be like to give
hair,
him... Yeah,
his hair
to give him a little credit.
But sweet man, and he... And post. So, and I just have such fond memories of him because my dad loved the Andy Hardy movies. Mm-hmm. And Mickey Mouse was always... I just found out it wasn't true, but the rumor always was that Mickey Mouse was named after him.
Okay, I had heard that. Yeah, not just from what you had put, but before.
Yeah, but before that. It's been a rumor that's been going along for a long time. Sure. And allegedly, one of Disney's children said that while he was a popular name at the time, that wasn't what he was from. They talk
about the 15 Hardy family movies.
And that's what I used to watch on Saturday afternoons with my dad.
Problems could be solved by Andy's Man Talk with his father. Judge Hardy, played by Lewis Stone, earned more than $75 million. Oh, I guess this is just another one of the actors. A huge sum during the Depression years when movie tickets rarely cost more than 25 cents. Can you imagine making $75 million or any of the actors?
Yeah, and he was the highest paid actor, and he went to war. He went over. I don't think he went into battle.
Famous teenager, they said.
And as highest paid actor, I think it was $110,000 or $120,000 a year.
No, a week.
Wow.
Oh, no, I read something that it was...
No, he was a week. Oh, yeah.
Oh, no, I thought... Okay, I read something that it was completely typed wrong, because I'm like, they were equating his salary to like $100,000 a year, as opposed to what you make in millions.
They were paid by the week. They had weekly salaries.
Oh, okay. And speaking of the money thing, and I had...
But eight divorces.
I had gone to look up...
Seven divorces and
Andy
one separation.
Rooney when I saw that happened, just to have something for tonight. But I just went in here to see what was updated. And it says that his will was filed with Los Angeles Superior Court Tuesday. It was signed by Rooney on March 11th. So just, it was a real recent one, and called for his stepson, Mark Rooney, and his wife to be the sole beneficiaries of the actor's estate, which is valued at only $18,000.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
And he just spoke in front of Congress about elder abuse because...
Yes.
Yeah, I remember that.
He moved from his child to his stepchild?
Yes.
To a stepchild because he was a victim of elder abuse, and that's where the last of his money went. Because he did make some, and you know the worst casting in the entire world is Breakfast at Tiffany's, where he plays an Asian in the most offensive
makeup.
Oh my God, wow. The most offensive makeup ever.
That sounds weird.
Yeah,
it's awful. Again, clearly by all your faces, you've never seen Breakfast at Tiffany's.
I haven't.
Google Mickey Rooney Breakfast at Tiffany's.
I have that one saved. Like, that's one of my DVR that I have.
There's a picture of him. I think he's like in a bathtub. There's a picture that
poor Al. On an island.
But anyway, so it was very sad. But I mean, it was just just another one of those things that...
Yuniyoshi.
Yeah, Mr. Yuniyoshi. With me and my dad, that we would watch the Andy...
Wow. Yeah. Not cute at all.
Andy Hardy movies where he was with some of them, he was with Judy Garland, and they would always go put on a show in the barn, and just a song and a dance would get you through it. But could sing, dance, played the drums. Like, he was so talented.
Comedic timing was very good. He had so many things going for him.
And I just love that. It's how everybody remembers their Saturday mornings, because that's what used to be on, was old movies. And those movies just had a long run if you live somewhere that snowed. Yep, she was in Syracuse.
Was he Jewish? Tom was asking, was he Jewish? Must be buried within 24 hours. I don't know that he was.
His name is Joe Ewell, so I can't remember. But chances are. And then the very last
don't
thing.
Don't say that, because that means Johnny Mathis. I don't want that to happen.
Could be any minute. So here in Phoenix, and I think I'm sure it's going to tour. It's part of the Debbie Reynolds collection. It's part of the Western Costume Company. It's part of two different movie studios, and then some generous donations from designers and actresses. It is the Hollywood Costume at the Phoenix Art Museum. It is.
It says he was Jewish.
Phenomenal.
On here.
It does?
I don't know. Whatever I'm reading right now says that he was Jewish, but I would like to.
How practicing, right? We don't know that.
No.
Right, and as far as the burial goes.
Yeah.
But if you get a chance to go down to the Phoenix Art Museum, or if it comes to you next, it's playing for a long period of time based on how many costumes they have.
Yeah, I want to go. I've heard such good things.
The mixed media presentation is just absolutely brilliant. And you would love just how they set up some of those things. So it looks like you're looking at a table and it's a projection, but it looks like a book turning, and they like flip through the book, and then they have interviews going on either side where it looks like the people are talking to each other.
Oh,
so clearly they were interviewed together. Like, it's Martin Scorsese and Colleen Atwood. It's Meryl Streep and Robert De Niro.
How long is this here in town?
Till July. It just started like two weeks ago. And you just go through, and then the costumes have... a TV screen where the head should be of the actor and looking like they did to go with the costume. They're stood the right height. They have the appropriate shoes on. And then the wigs are their own designer, like art exhibit, because they don't have the actual wigs for the costume. So they're doing it with like black and white feathers to make the hair work. And it's amazing. And they do a whole thing to just everyone who's ever played Elizabeth I or a couple other of pieces of royalty, but they're, most of them are Elizabeth the First or Elizabethan, I should say. Because now that I think about it, there was a couple other. They have costumes from Shakespeare in Love. They have costumes from Elizabeth the Golden Age. Dangerous Liaisons. I saw that dress and almost shit my pants. I was so excited.
Yeah. There's a lot of them because I don't know those particular films, but there are a lot that I knew when I saw the list.
Indiana Jones, Ocean's 11, it's Brokeback Mountain, and it's the two iconic ones from Brokeback Mountain with the shirts.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you've seen this movie, but the shirts are very important.
I have seen that. Absolutely. Yes.
Yeah. So each of the stand-ups, and they have them in the real height so you can tell who's short and who's tall.
Oh, that's really cool. Well, and they did a big blowout black tie affair for the opening.
And it's gorgeous.
They had a huge tent. They tented the whole parking lot. They did like this huge, very, 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 very elite donors, very upscale donors. I have a friend that was there that posted some photos. They did just like a really, really, really gorgeous, big ball gown type of gala.
And it's appropriate opening. For it. And they have the 7-year itch dress from Marilyn Monroe, which is kind of weathered. They have the gingham dress and the ruby slippers from The Wizard of Oz. Wow. Kind of weathered. It's not the beauty. And then you realize like the one costume is Judy Dench's from Shakespeare in Love, and you realize it looks so dingy. But then they'll have the thing like period pieces, and they'll do a little thing, and they'll show you like the costumes as they are in situ, if you will. But they have, and then you realize that they're not lit right either. Like the Glenn Close costume from Dangerous Liaisons is so beautiful, but of course they have her in like bright sunlight, and then they have all and it's in tight close ups. It's that orange dress where she gets out of the thing, and she's all pissed off, and she raises her head and she smiles, and it's like, oh, I was like dying. And then upstairs they have Oscar gowns. But they have three Glenn Close gowns. I mean, I was in Glenn Close fucking heaven. They had three Glenn Close gowns, and I'm like, oh, she was pregnant in this one. And then everyone was like, oh. Yeah, I'm like, well, clearly she's like a size 2 over there. Everybody's tiny. And they have costumes from American Hustle.
Don't they have like current
American
gowns?
Hustle would be current.
Well, I mean, but current but they Oscar are, gowns.
They do. They have.
As recent as this
I want to say they had Lupita.
No. They have Jennifer Lawrence from Winter's Bone, which when you see it's so shockingly simple. And you're like, oh my God, how many lights are on that red carpet? It's a little red tank dress and she's this big. And then one of them was ugly. The one from Rachel Weisz where she won. Oh, and then they have an error. Because they have Renee Zellweger's.
They have an error.
They have Renee Zellweger's that says that she was nominated for supporting actress for Bridget Jones' Diary, and I had to call out a docent because she'd been bitchy to me about my cell phone.
Wait, what?
So they said she was nominated for best supporting actress. I'm like, somebody get over here and
fix this.
Deduct that. Like, come on.
Wasn't Winter's Bone her first thing?
Yeah.
Well, her first big thing.
And
I like how you're looking up the gowns right now, Katie.
I totally am. I want to know exactly what she was wearing.
But, like, totes the Rachel Weisz one was ugly.
And what was Rachel from what?
From The Constant Gardener. And ugly. 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 And then, oh my God, Sally Fields from Lincoln last year.
Okay. Oh.
Ugly. It was seriously like Special Olympics prom dress. It was so bad.
For Academy Awards or costume in the movie?
No, from her Oscar dress, which looked beautiful on TV. And
wait,
up
Rachel Weisz's dress, was it like a like a goldy silver shimmery number?
It's from the year that she won the Oscar. No.
Okay, I gotta find that.
But when you see the, it's so funny because you see the picture of them in it, and then you look at the dress, and you're like,
what happened?
Yeah, you're like, oh my God, how did that photograph? Well, it looks like a piece of shit. But the Sally Field one was uber ugly to go to the German. But it's very interesting. It's very exciting.
Besotted.
The mixed media presentation was absolutely incredible. So.
Well, maybe I'll snag mom and we'll go because that sounds fun. Yeah.
She was pregnant.
That doesn't explain what happened
up here. She was 7 months pregnant. No, I see that. Yeah, I see that the top of it's very bizarre looking. It's this black number with the weird shoulders. Is that it?
Yep.
It's just not cute.
Oh, well, the pregnant part might help. Oh, yeah, it's not cute at all. And it looks like it was put together by Staples.
But if you see her, like,
not
in that
one,
it's like she's 7 months pregnant.
But they have the Kate Blanchett one where she won for The Aviator.
Yeah.
And they're like, and this is one of the few dresses that's always acknowledged as one of the greatest Oscar moments in history.
Okay.
And that gown was a showstopper. I mean, you just walked up to it and you're like, it was so beautiful. I got to tell you, Darth Vader scared the fuck out of me. I had to walk away.
Really?
It was, I don't know, there was something so creepy about that mask. And then when you see it all put together and you realize it's like World War One costumes and like stormtrooper Germany helmets. And you like... You,
just a lot to take in.
You, when you take it in and it's staring
it's very
at
Holocaust-y.
You. And you swear there's someone in it. Like, you just swear there's someone
James
in
Earl
thing.
Jones is inside
Oh, my God.
It.
Was it the Cate Blanchett where, with the, like,
it's,
round
no, it's
out?
Got, it's got the...
it's because that dress was so beautiful.
It's the one where she won for the Aviator. And okay. The Batman costume, scary as well, but really fucking sexy.
I'm sure.
Oh, right. And Heath Ledger had a bulge.
Oh,
they
yeah.
were kind enough to put Heath Ledger's bulge down the down the side of his pants. I liked that.
Mm. Okay.
I'm so excited to go see this. So I'm really, really wanting to. Really,
heard, and that piece has been
If you're in the Phoenix really area, and I'm sure it's going to tour, but it's in Barbra Streisand from Funny Girl. I mean, there's just... It's just costume after costume after costume.
I think I'll have to go grab mom and I'll have to go do that. It sounds cool.
Yeah, it really was. It took us like 2.5 hours to get through the whole thing, and we were just in awe of it.
Now, you were going through a couple other people passed away in addition to who you mentioned earlier. There was the Gone with the Wind gal.
Right, right. I can't remember. Yeah.
You looked her up. Mm-hmm. I thought we were going through a death section here. Maybe I was wrong. Did I miss that?
Oh, I just went through that. Because I'm not familiar with the comedian that you talked about.
Okay, so the comedian...
Jewish, by the way.
The comedian that we lost this past weekend, 50 years old, very heavy set, did a lot of things. But one of the things that he was very famous for was in regards to the Chinese buffet.
He started screaming at me.
Oh, my God,
You're
yes.
You're here now. You're here 4 hours.
Oh, I really
well,
liked him.
You're here 4 hours. You're not come here anymore.
He say did his it. Name again.
John Panette. Yeah. He was always a big kid. I loved him when he was really young and he just was coming up. He was a Boston area comedian with a lot of other people like Lewis Black and sure. some other ones all came from the same area. But one of the he does this entire thing and you can certainly look it up. He does an entire thing which obviously they're all stories but about his family takes him to a water park in Florida and he climbs 34 stories to the top of this slide. In a Speedo. he talks about how he comes down the slide and he goes, oh, that family shouldn't have been there. And he goes through this whole thing where he hits the water and he goes through a fence and he goes out into the parking lot and he goes, I was moving. I was like, G-H-I. I was out there. And I get back to the gate. The guy wants to charge me again. He goes, do you see a wallet? The guy goes, well, quite frankly, I don't see the Speedo. But John Panette apparently died of a long-term illness. He was in a hotel room in Pittsburgh on tour. But I saw him with my mom last year. Either you mentioned stand up live from downtown. That's where I saw him. And I just, it was just so many funny, funny stories that he.
Yeah, they only listed him as being on Seinfeld. And I didn't recognize him. Oh my God, you play that clip.
And yeah.
It's a huge
Joel. Joel and I used to do that about anybody that came in the bar.
You'll be here
4 hours.
You've been 4.95. You've been here 4 hours.
You know
that. And he does the other thing about how at the same water park when he got launched and he went over and. You went over an Asian family, and they're like, "Oh, Free Willy! Free Willy!" Just makes me laugh. He was a big. Who saw it coming? Big guy had health problems, obviously, but so funny.
It didn't say
no.
What?
It did. It did say something. He had been. It was in one of the news clips that I read that he had recently been dealing with some medical issue. They didn't say what it was. Could have been the fact that he was like 400 or 500 pounds.
Yeah, he really
but he had
like
last
good.
Year lost a lot of weight from when he was younger.
I want to say that he had just done the staple or something. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mary Anderson is the one who played Maybelle Merriweather.
She's
passed away, right?
Yep.
And also in Alfred Hitchcock's Lifeboat, one of the 9 survivors.
Yes, and if you're ever bored in a story where I'm talking about Betty Davis and Tallulah Bankhead,
look up Betty Davis right now.
Lifeboat is Tallulah Bankhead's big movie because all of Betty Davis's famous movies were plays on Broadway starring Tallulah Bankhead, and Tallulah Bankhead was never offered the movie roles, so they were famous rivals, and so that's Lifeboat. But it's really good if you get a chance to see it. It's Alfred Hitchcock and a little drama about people on a lifeboat.
Perfect.
And then this week on HBO, Veep is back, just as funny as ever. Again, I had to watch it 2.5 times to get all the jokes. And at one point, I was just like, everybody just stop. And they kill off a congressman. And, you know, the last time it was a molester. And, you know, when a molester dies, you got to send a card. And this time, it was a really short congressman. And, like, the casket's, like, a foot and a half long. And all they do is make short jokes.
I haven't watched it yet.
And Tony Hale is at – everybody's at a wedding for Mike, the press guy. So, Selena has a new Tony Hale that walks behind her, but he's so bad at it that they have to put Tony Hale on iPhone
laughing
next
with her.
To her ear so everyone can see him whispering in her ear.
It's awesome.
I want to say it during her.
Oh, my God. Her son's name is John. And she likes movies. Oh, how is John still going to the movies? But she just watched Tony Hale say it too, because the guy's holding the phone wrong. And then whenever she wants to get out of something, she's like, fake phone call. But because it's not Tony Hale, she actually has to say fake phone call while this guy's like shaking her hand, fake phone call. And he goes, oh, ma'am. It's the Prime Minister of Scotland. She's like, oh, that's very important. They have to take that. Never, ever, ever fucking stops. It's so funny. But afterwards, or before it, is a show called Silicon Valley, which was very clever and very cute. And it turns out the big breakout star on this same thing, he died in December. He filmed the series, died in December after lung cancer. And the writer that I saw, and there was a couple people that wanted to do interviews with the cast, and everyone was asking why this guy wasn't available for interviews. And then they had to put out an announcement that
he'd kicked it.
He had died, and they just, no one realized that it would become an issue. Like, no one thought he would be a breakout star of it, because it's a big ensemble comedy, and he just had a little part. But everyone was talking about how funny he was as the donor, and it really was funny. And I'm like, well, they must have the wrong name. I thought the whole point of the story was, oh, my God, someone else died with that name, and they're all reading the wrong obituary, but no. So that was funny.
Well, and Broad City this last week was hysterical. Like, tears, laughter when they were at the fancy restaurant. My God.
Call it totes hysterical.
And her face, and when she collapses, she gives herself the EpiPen. I was just... like, I was dying.
Chocolatey.
I'll just keep eating. I have at least three shellfish courses left in me. Let's do this. She's like, they're at a fancy restaurant for the girl's birthday. She's like, this year's going to be the fucking best. We're starting it off fancy. Everything that happens tonight, boom. And then she goes to the bathroom and she pees out a condom. And she's like, fuck. I mean, it's just...
And she calls the guy. She goes, and then it starts off with, it's a good year. I had mediocre sex last night. And you know, for me, it's really good.
She goes, it is for anybody, girl. Boom.
Then she calls the guy she had sex with, and he goes, oh, I didn't use a condom. I thought you knew. And she's like, how long has this thing been in me?
And I just love it. Because she goes, well, I'm never calling you again. Yeah. And he goes, you probably are. And she's like, I'll probably talk to you later. Oh, my God. It is just...
That is another show.
I'll probably talk to you later.
It takes you like three viewings to get everything that happens.
I've just picked out specific people in my life, and I've been like, you, come over here. I need to talk to you about something. And then like the people that I'm sharing it, like it's a one off. I'm like, need to tell those people. Oh, I saw Bad Words.
Oh, how was it?
And it was great. And Kelly really enjoyed it, and I really enjoyed it.
It's a feather.
I know.
It's Marabou. It's okay. It's Marabou.
That's my third. Today was either going to be Bad Words or the with my friend
it
Kevin.
It was great. That little Indian kid is so fucking funny.
That little Indian kid.
Are there nine others?
Nope, just the one.
Okay.
Just the one.
Nine?
She doesn't mean the offensive Indian.
Oh, Jesus. I was thinking the dwarfs. I'm sorry. Wrong story.
She wasn't being racially insensitive. She was being racially appropriate.
Oh, yeah, nobody definitely little Indian kid. He was really funny, and I loved it when he starts fucking with him back. It was great.
That's why the feather.
Okay.
Oh wow.
But it was Marabou.
It took it there. Flying.
But it was Marabou.
Only a gay person sees a feather and screams out Marabou. How far is the cock up your ass when you scream out Marabou?
I don't appreciate that. Katie, you ready for sports?
Ready. That's right.
You are you done with entertainment now?
Yes, I was a long time ago. I can't believe we got that much time on it. I wrote four things down.
No shit. But, that was the longest entertainment section.
Seriously, but Broad City and Veep.
Just watch that.
But that was the longest entertainment section I think you ever did.
One of the longer ones.
Even though he said it was going to be the shortest.
One of the longer ones.
Yeah. Well, no, we did a death den, too.
Well, that's true. We added some little extra stuff.
And we did a lunar landing.
That's true.
There's a lot happening.
He's very involved.
Can we just go to Katie now, please?
In the NCAA championships, UConn men and women both win their basketball titles, but don't fuck with them. They hungry. And also, try not to call them the NAACP. That's not what they are. Oscar Pistorius was also besotted.
He stumped at the trial.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah. We found another long-lost message, and a Republican cheats.
And the cheatee loses her job.
Well, she was a dirty bitch.
Dirty whore.
So we finally get to the championships of the NCAA tournament, which everybody's super excited about.
By the way, just still side note. Funny.
Yes.
Griner, huge. Just fucking humongous. Huge. When I saw it at the parade, I was like, God damn it.
Really, really awesome.
Those big bitch.
And like right when I saw her, I was so weirdly excited that I'm like, the music cut out, my microphone feedbacked. Like, I can't be fucking normal in front of people that
the
I think
supplements
are
they put in food are one really
of,
working.
One of Aaron's students saw her out there and was like just excited about it anyway.
And she was...
And was able to be next to her and was putting... There's a picture, and it really is insane, but it was very cute because she's like in love with her.
Did Fernando send you the picture that he took?
No, not yet. The photos aren't up yet, but I'm excited. But Natalie also got to meet her and talk to her, and Natalie's like, I just don't feel like I could have a conversation with her. Like, she's cool and she's great on the court, but I feel like we probably couldn't talk to each other. That was Natalie's takeaway. Okay. Really nice. Maybe not super smart. Like, maybe not very deep. Smart of a person. That was Natalie's take, so I'm blaming it on you.
Not
Natalie
too
Sanziela.
Deep, mountain high.
Yeah.
Like, ain't no valley low enough.
Natalie said,
"One less advocate we have."
Natalie said she's very, very, very nice, but she's like, I just don't know if we could like talk. Anyway,
wow,
there you have it.
She's besotted.
So UConn men's basketball, they win. That's very exciting. They beat Kentucky. It's their fourth national championship.
And that happened tonight, right? Or today?
Yesterday. No, that one happened yesterday. Yes, but guess what did happen today? UConn women win as well.
UConn.
I just care more about them. They win there.
UConn, not UConn. Like, not the Gold Rusher Dykes.
That's correct.
UConn.
Like, why are you
like University of Connecticut,
Never mind. What everybody calls
Klondike Bar. Right.
What the fuck are you talking about?
UConn. Well, UConn sounds like the UConn territory.
Right.
So, no. U-K-O-N. University of.
Right.
I'm sorry. UConn.
Like,
University
of GMC. Or UConn Cornelius.
UConn Cornelius.
I'm just trying to whip him into shape for this. So, my friend Kevin picked them today.
He pricked them.
All of them.
Well, that'll be a story.
Not a lot of prickers back.
Well, I will say that the women defeated their fiercest rival, Notre Dame.
Oh, I know them.
And they completed their fifth undefeated season, which is crazy. The Huskies are 40-0 for the women for the fifth year in a row. That's pretty amazing. Insane. And it says, a school whose early mission was agriculture, UConn has come to regularly harvest basketball championships. Very clever.
So they started off with animal husbandry, and look where it led.
That sounds like the people of RuPaul's Drag Race are writing that copy.
They are in a league of their own, they say. You know who one of the most famous UConn alumni is, and probably my most favorite person on earth.
Brittany Grimes.
Diana Taurasi.
Oh, that's right.
Phoenix Mercury for life. So very cool. She's a UConn alum. And the men's team, however, they again came out and won this year. They haven't played the last couple of years in the tournament because their grades were so bad. And the big like superstar of this game, his name was actually Shabazz Napier, I think. And after they won the game, he got an opportunity to be on the microphone and talk a little bit. And he just had to be this is just not cute.
No, and they had to cut him off.
Well, yeah. And it's tacky. So he goes, I want to get everybody's attention right quick. If I don't have your attention, give it to me. Ladies and gentlemen, you're looking at the Hungry Huskies. This is what happens when you ban us last year. And then he goes on to say, we hungry. I'm just adding in the voice for effect.
Thank you.
Thank you. When you stop, you prevent us from blah, 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 blah. Anyway.
The feather? I mean, I know, right?
No, anyway, it's just bullshit. Basically, they had really bad scores. So, or, excuse me, school scores and school grades. School grades, right.
Six.
And a six, sure. So
East Germany's being a bitch.
Yep. So they had bad grades. They got cut from the championship. Anyway, they're all pissed off about it, and they're using this opportunity to win to say, fuck you, UConn. You could have had some more under your belt. We're so amazing. But really, aren't you there to go to college?
Yeah. You can't spell.
Right.
You won a national championship.
Like, your grammar is piss poor when you're speaking in this post-interview.
Yeah. He's grading.
That's perfect.
Oh, no, we're not sipping markers. Jesus Christ.
He's besotted over there. Okay, but...
Oh, UConn rocks.
Raise the roof!
Yeah, because they're good at school. Yeah. We go to UConn. UKON. UConn.
Yeah, so pretty bad, but we're proud of them for winning. We're more proud of the women because it's Diana Taurasi's alma mater.
Absolutely.
So a Fox News host, though, go figure this. John 3:16 is perfect. Heather Childers, who is a beautiful blonde something or other on
they're
Fox,
all fembots.
Today said that the University of Connecticut Huskies were the new NAACP national champions.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Yep.
Okay.
However, they're not. Of course, they're the NCAA. She acknowledged the gaffe on Twitter, saying that she just misspoke. And, I mean, it was kind of blown over, but it's just, don't be a dumbass. Like,
well, no, it's Fox.
It's, right. Yeah.
Because that's what Fox viewers, because there's a... Young Turks, I think it's Young Turks, breaks down the viewership of minorities on stations.
Oh, and there's and like, zero.
MSNBC was like 16%. It was higher than the average. CNN and most of the networks are like around 12.
Yeah.
And then it got to Fox and it was like 1.1%.
What are they? Like, what is the 1.1%?
Yeah, how do you find 1.1%? But then they were talking like the average age of Fox News is like 71. Like, and so they were talking about, like, it's just old white people watching stuff about black people they've never met before. So they're like, half that stuff, they're like, oh, that's what it's called.
When they go, they won the NAACP, they're like, yes, good.
Yeah, right. Good. Yeah, I've been wondering what the NAACP was doing lately for
basketball games.
You know what I mean? Like, it's just like, that's not a mistake. That's just how you all think over there.
Yeah, they're idiots. So Oscar Pistorius at the murder trial, he finally has made it onto the stand, and he actually said,
he's without legs, it takes a while.
Finally made it up there. He sprung into action.
he was stumped by the questions.
He gave short answers. Yeah.
No running.
No legs, but he's armed.
Literally.
Oh. It's actually true.
Are you more of a shooter? Never mind. Okay,
yeah,
sorry.
It's all good.
He was, however, besotted with Reva.
Oh, he...
Yeah.
Yep, he details their relationship, saying that they had discussed their future together before he killed her.
And he was going to tell her he loved her that weekend.
Yep. Ooh, I was besotted, he says. If anything, I was more into her than sometimes she was into me.
Well, of course you were. Because that's how it works.
I'm going to bet he was...
And didn't...
He laid on his back a lot.
But didn't he say... Oh, wow. Didn't he say, like, that...
Is that grudge fucking on a stump?
Like, after, what, oh, it is.
If she was angry.
That's right, and it was.
Didn't he say something about, like, after he broke down the door with the cricket bat, that he sat on the floor and, like, stroked her hair or something like that?
Oh, God. That
like,
is
that
so
there was
creepy.
There was a little bit of a delay because he was trying to comfort her or something.
Ashley was dying?
No, because she was clearly dead.
She was so dead.
No, she was already dead.
She had parts of a door in her. No, he shot through the door. So she
absorbed some of the door.
She didn't just
but then when
bullet.
He looked through, he was able to see that it was her, not the intruder or whatever.
Stand back.
Well, they had text messages that she was texting him like, I feel scared of you sometimes. I mean, it's not looking great for him.
I thought it was the ex-girlfriend that said she was afraid of him.
No, Reva. There's text messages.
Because, you know, the ex-girlfriend...
All I saw today was him, like, or her fucking lose it.
No, it was all him today. But he's been losing it all along.
Today they had to stop the trial.
He's been vomiting in the courtroom and crying.
Okay.
They had to bring him a bucket, and he literally threw up during one of the part of the testimony. But then they did accidentally... They showed autopsy pictures without asking him to leave.
Okay.
And her family got very upset, and he was just throwing up all over the place.
There was something when I was, because I was just listening to it again, because I'm working, so I'm looking down, I'm not paying any attention. Well, you're not seeing him anyway, but to see the reaction of people, he sounds sincere.
Oh, he does. I mean, he looks genuinely like, I mean, when you look at him in the courtroom, like, with a bucket of vomit in front of him and, like, sobbing uncontrollably.
Anybody looks passable.
Yeah. It's quite the performance if it's fake.
If it's fake, right. That's what I was thinking.
Yeah, but you might have still, like, killed her in a moment of rage and then still have been devastated and, oh, my God, what did I do? And vomiting.
I never thought I could get to this point.
Sure.
I mean, I don't think that his...
I used to be an angry stump, and now I'm a murderer.
Now look at me.
Because the ex-girlfriend did testify that she had been afraid of him. So I'm like, well, that's not good news.
Yeah, that can't be good for him. Okay.
Anyway, not good.
Interesting.
Get to the congressman.
This is kind of a neat story. Just very, very quickly to go along with what we had. Jesus Christ. I just lost it. Cheese and rice. Return to sender. A 101-year-old message in a bottle.
I saw that. I'm glad you put that up. I saw that. That's very cool.
A message in a bottle that was thrown into the ocean in 1913 was recently found by a fisherman off the coast of Germany.
Send help her in Germany. That was the message.
To the sender's granddaughter. It was very surprising. A man stood in front of my door. He had this message. Wait, and what did it say?
I saw earlier today. I didn't read the message, but I thought it was a cool story that the bottle's been bobbing around for literally 101 years.
It says, and it
ovens
says the message found last month is largely indecipherable because of, you know, all of the elements however, the name and address is still legible, and his request that the message be forwarded back to him. He wrote on the postcard, thought to be the oldest message in a bottle in the world when he was just 20 years old. He never knew Erdman, his granddaughter, never knew him. He died at age 54, but she heard lots of stories about him from his mother. I knew very little about my grandfather, she says, but I found out that he was a writer who was very open-minded, believed in freedom, that everyone should respect each other. He did a lot for the young.
He was gay.
And later traveled with his wife and two daughters.
Oh, whoops. No.
It was wonderful because I could see where my roots came from.
Manelli.
So the postcard will be on display in a German museum.
Oh, very nice.
So kind of a neat story that I just happened to find.
In related news, Al Gore is upset to find out that that guy actually invented the internet. So I'm sorry.
He sort of did.
The World Wide Webs.
The two things. Mickey Rooney, not Jewish. Apparently.
Okay. Good to clear that up.
Good to clear that up. Did not want
so they can take a couple days to bury him.
Yep.
Time as long as they want. Who cares?
And sports-wise, were you done with sports
stuff? Not entirely, but go to that guy. Okay. Yeah.
There was a guy who could cost him this. Well, it's going to cost him the $100,000 because he did not complete that bracket. So you remember the bracket and you
for
could
NCAA?
Get $1 billion.
Right.
So he did not put...
Oh, Jesus. Well, how stupid.
For God's sake. So he had everything. And, you know, he got down. He nailed 11 of the Sweet 16 teams, 7 of the Elite 8.
Which is pretty big.
Huge deal. He forgot he did not pick a champion.
So he didn't complete it. Right.
It came down.
So he got everything right but that? Oh, my God.
Enough right that 11 of the 16 and 7 of the 8 and going all the way down.
Fractions. He's in charge of math tonight.
So he would have, he could have received $100,000.
But he forgot the important part. You have to pick the winner.
Right.
He forgot the Powerball number, dumbass.
And had the right teams. Had all that, but you have to put like a score in.
I don't know how do you pick?
How do you do that?
That's insane.
I know.
Well, my friend Kevin, my constant movie date, and today I was... I got there so early because I was in the right city at the right place.
Yeah.
And he sent me a text. He's like, I just want to make sure you're awake and you know that the museum's in Phoenix. I'm like, I know I'm a dipshit.
He, right now, well, yesterday.
But whenever... he went to Vegas and did the initial 64.
Okay.
And he said he lost all of the games. He lost every single game.
Oh, that's funny. I love that. I would rather like all of them. He, yesterday, whatever, he currently was tied for fourth. And that's, I mean, a big deal. The billion is long gone, but the creators have the 20 highest scoring brackets will receive 100,000. If Corey correctly picked the winner for tonight's tournament final, last night's tournament final, he'd be in the money. But he didn't correctly pick the winner because he didn't pick any winner. And his bracket is long locked, so there's no way. There will be no money for Corey because no matter who wins, he'll be leapfrogged by more than 20 people. Who did pick a champion?
Oh, that's got to burn your ass.
Come on.
Yeah, that's crazy.
That's like green chilies 2 days later.
What? How in the hell?
Burning its way out.
Or because I sat there when I left here and you had said that it was all done. And I thought, well, that's fucked. And then I heard something on the radio, I think, that said you have
it's
until...
It's unfucked.
Yeah, you have until you still 1 o'clock time. In the morning.
Dicks out, unfucked.
Whatever it was, like the next night, like on Wednesday, you have until this time.
Yeah, you did.
And so I'm like... Well, bullshit. Of course I'm going to do that, just like I'm going to play the lottery.
Right.
Why will I not do it? And I sat there, and I went through each and everything. Like, I had no idea what the hell I was picking.
Just random.
Randomly went through, and I picked a winner, and I put in the little score of what I thought it might be. You know, you did the whole thing. Anyone who can be that good at it...
Yeah, needs to, like, sign on the dotted line.
How drunk were you?
Right. Yeah. Besotted.
He was besotted.
Yeah, he was.
He was completely besotted. And
maybe
now
a little
he's completely babroke. Yeah. Now he's just completely babroke. No. Anyway,
So last piece
you.
Is
continue
that,
on.
Last piece, very quickly, is that we have a, this is going to come as a big surprise,
it's shocking.
A Republican congressman from Louisiana was just caught in video passionately embracing and kissing a staff member. Now, his name is Vance McAllister.
The staff member's name is Vance?
No. Not quite
better.
That scandalous. But the congressman is Representative Vance McAllister. He is a husband, a father of five,
and a Bible school teacher.
Deeply
I'm just making
thumper,
that up.
Deeply religious man.
There it is. There it is.
Who specifically ran on a platform of faith and family.
And now we have to play this.
Yes. Shocking.
I was waiting for you to say some gay man's name that he was making out with.
No, that's all right. Some Republicans were trying to keep their distance from him, except for House Majority Leader Eric Cantor, who said, I'm so pleased with his apology. And I really feel like a man like this, you know, he has the ability to turn it around, and let's just
make
let
it
go.
His own.
Let's let go and let God is literally basically how Eric Cantor
Fuck
is.
Fuck you.
So what did they do? They fired the woman he was kissing.
Oh, no,
they
no, no. Au contraire. She voluntarily resigned effective yesterday.
Of course she did.
As they held her hand as she wrote the note.
He has said his duty to his country is far too great for him to resign.
Oh yeah,
he will do everything
in his power to earn back the trust of all that he have disappointed.
I hate him.
This is the same ass fuck that brought the bearded duck call guy to the White House correspondence dinner. They're good
there
buddies.
It is.
They love God and freedom and fucking family.
You mean
fucking other people's family.
Yeah. Fucking other traditional.
Because she was married too. So he cuckolded and was the cuckoldy.
Well, for him, you know what?
Looks like it's back to the perfume guy.
But he is so self-righteous and anti-Obama that he brought the duck fucker to the State of the Union address.
And he has also already made the statement that, look, I need to work on my personal life, but... But don't cast me aside because I hate Obama as much as you do. Essentially is like what he's telling his constituents. Like, I know that I'm fucking the intern, but I hate that black guy over there in the office. And
so
don't you
that,
too?
Let
who,
that outshine.
Who, by the way, has
and
never fucked an intern.
Fucker.
Yeah.
What I thought you were going to say was that he was going to say that deserved it or she asked for it.
Likely.
I thought that was where it was going to come from.
That'll come out next
week. Like the other son of a bitch who was out there saying that you deserve to be raped.
Yeah.
I thought that was where that was going to come from.
And the worst part is that this guy is like not even even remotely attractive. So I just, this poor girl just got wrapped up.
That really is hope for all of us.
And like his power. And you know, he's just wildly abusing his power with this. And I don't know how old she, I honestly have no idea how old she is.
They don't say matter, I have not read much about her, which I thought they would really like.
Do you have a clip? Can we go to a clip?
I thought they would ring her up the cross.
But they do say, wait, no, they don't. I don't know how old she is. Something.
Well, think about that as far as a Republican. And granted,
the woman in the video, Melissa Peacock, they don't really talk much about her. Except that she, let's see, that she was hired to his shaft. That's right. She was hired.
We've already lost one keyboard. Keep it in your mouth.
Shortly after his election, she earned $470 a week. $407 a week, or less than $22,000 a year.
Oh, so she's making Louisiana money.
Yeah. $22,000.
John 3:16. For God so loved his intern
that he banged her all over the
he shafted
with
her.
His shaft
all over the floor.
His new shaft member.
Do I have the theme from Shaft on this goddamn computer?
Shut your mouth.
Shut your mouth.
Well, look at the guy from last week in Florida that's dressing up, and he's a rape fantasies, and he's
Kitty
Vans
Lapper.
He's a vampire by night. Yeah, and these are the people that we're electing.
You get what you pay for in Louisiana, people.
You really do.
And that's it in sports and other stuff.
And live action role players.
We got it. On the Shaft.
Theme from Shaft.
Shut your mouth.
Shut your mouth. Hush up.
That's good stuff.
Oh, it really is.
Anyway. Oscar
nominated song, by the way.
Oh, oddly. And what, 1972, three?
Two-ish.
I'm willing to share points because I'm so far ahead.
Fuck you, actually are.
I know.
Oh, do we have a new deck?
I have three names.
How are we gonna pick it?
I don't know.
By the way, we're not on time restraints anymore. We can talk to forever.
True.
Just let you know. We sadly changed that.
So
it was your idea.
I know. I'm trying to act repulsed by it.
That's a horrible idea.
So
keep rolling.
Are we still on?
So I have three.
Is this live?
Is this on?
Three people.
I have three.
Okay, right. Come on.
Billy Graham.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Okay. Kirk Douglas, because he's been ready for dead for a long time. He's not on there.
Billy Graham. No.
Okay. And the last one, which I was like, did he die or were we just talking about it?
Did you have to Google it?
Casey Kasem.
I want to offer up, due to like drugs and mental illness, Catherine Zeta-Jones.
Oh,
really?
Oh,
no.
You mean as a surprise?
Mentally ill, terrible divorce.
A surprise.
But they're not divorced yet. They're not divorced.
Surprise. I
don't agree with that.
I think Catherine Zeta-Jones would be worth more points because that'd be a shocker to everyone.
That'd be way worth more points.
I'm going to go Casey Kasem. That's my vote.
He doesn't get a lot of points though because...
No, because we see it coming.
Well,
he's like buried Valerie up to his Harper neck already. Yeah. It's kind of like the Zaza. Well, actually, Zaza's outlived everybody, so we really are going to add points.
I mean,
every
she really
day
has
she
one
lives.
Leg into it.
She's got one foot in the grave already, for God's sake.
Well, what do they do
and a couple of
at
hands.
The restaurant? Here's a question. Oddly, I have a question.
I need to Google her.
At the restaurant, what happens to... That's a mess. It's horrible. when an amputation occurs... A Coors?
A Coors. That's a beer brand?
What?
But we put it on the silver bullet train. To the refrigerator.
What happens to said amputee parts?
I don't know.
They go in the wood chipper.
I don't work near the wood chipper.
Margie, they go in the wood chipper.
Usually what they take off is so horrible that I don't... Mm. They just get rid of it.
But yeah, what does it get rid of? Because I figured there's got to be some legality. It just doesn't go...
An old fridge next door to your house?
Well,
and then they turn off the electric.
I will ask. Incineration? Is there...
I honestly don't know, but I will ask. Like, but I know we do have medical waste, so I'm sure it would go out with some kind
of... But that's
like,
what I would wonder. What the...
Biohazard.
Well, because if they reattach, then they do. But
I cannot believe... that Zsa Zsa Gabor is still alive. I'm looking at her photos. Yeah. I'm like,
and that picture is years old. That's not current. That's years old.
How many fingers does she hold up?
Well, her face just well, looks, how many, like,
she,
I mean,
she has a couple, this. But the other doctors are holding the rest of them.
But it's just, that's, she's not your, looking good.
And you got to say, this is one of the, and this is what we were saying about, like, the difference between now and then.
Harrison can see Mars now. That's cool.
This is, that's one of the most beautiful women that's ever lived.
My God, her photos.
So Zsa and Ava both. They were both stunning.
And I think Ava was more beautiful. To me, Ava was the more beautiful of the two.
Look up Ava.
I think it's AVA.
Do it!
Is it AVA?
AVA.
Mm-hmm. Is it AVA or EVA?
No, it's EVA.
Is it EVA?
It's EVA.
Oh, it's Ava Gardner and Ava Gabor. Okay, yeah.
Okay. So look her up, because she was on...
So who do you nominate?
I think she was more
classic. And then Marnie gets to decide.
Look how beautiful...
No, I think Zsa was a little bit more, like, classically beautiful.
Well, Zsa was a bitch. Ava was the nice one.
Oh, was she?
Let me see.
Yeah. Gorgeous woman.
That's that. Oh, that's Ava.
Ava.
Oh no, I always vote for Ava.
But Zsa, I think
Zsa. And her acting ability was better. Her comedic timing was great.
They were fantastic it came to Love Boat.
Oh. And that's all. That's all I knew it from.
Well, Green Acres.
Fantasy Island. Mm-hmm.
Oh, dip plane. Oh, if we could get Hervé Valachez back, we could find that fucking plane.
But we'd have to put him back on the debt then, because, you know.
Because he's dead.
Yeah.
I just think that she's so beautiful.
Yeah,
that's Zsa.
Yeah, it's a horse race, and they're sisters, so it's easy.
Billy Graham has got to be close. I mean,
is that your official nominee, Billy Graham?
I don't know. That's what...
No, well, so you said Casey Kasem.
Everybody pick one, and you get to pick.
So you say Casey Kasem.
Casey Kasem, Billy Graham,
Kirk Douglas.
I'm not on... Kirk Douglas, I have a fear... Not a fear. I have a feeling that he's going to go...
I'm afeard. I got Catherine Zeta-Jones.
Okay.
But I don't know...
I haven't heard of
that. I haven't heard of that, but all of a sudden...
Bipolar, kinds of meds, twice in rehab, going through a nasty divorce. She's going.
How is she going? Willingly, or is she going to kill herself?
Going to be all very Philip Seymour.
Really? You think so? She's going to find her with
Was it
Fat Boy Slim Heroin? What is it called? What is it called?
Crush?
Just Fat Boy.
Fat Boy Heroin.
You know what? Because I look at those, like when James Gandolfini, obviously by natural causes, but James Gandolfini, or if it's Catherine Zeta-Jones, Philip Seymour Hoffman, any of those where you go, what?
Right.
Heath Ledger.
Those are worth the most points. What?
Totally worth the most. But I just haven't. So let's see. Do you have the Jeopardy music you can put out?
All right.
The Jeopardy music? Jeopardy music.
These are your choices to pick from. You get to pick.
Now, while you guys are all thinking about that, let's do this, because this makes us compliant to everything we've got to get done. We'll do a crossover. We're going into hour four, but that's just so we can take care of Thoughtful Vulgarity and a couple other things. So think about your death choices. Uh-huh. Messages in the chat room if you want to.
Yeah, you can go ahead and I will.
Oh, Tomo says they burn them in the furnace over there in New Zealand.
Oh,
I do too, but...
That's what my thought was, that only because of disease. Well,
They do incinerate most medical waste.
That's what I would have thought.
I'm just worried about, like... about the smell.
Yeah.
But who cares? Like it just shoots out the stack and disperses.
Because
they
don't amputate anything healthy. So when that burns, mostly, it's going to stank.
It is 10 o'clock Phoenix time. Thank you for listening to us. We're going to come back in just a few minutes. We got a little extra segment, a little more Death Watch, Death Den. Also, we're going to do Thoughtful Vulgarity. And maybe Al will say something
Tomo,
funny.
Harrison, anyone got someone for the Death Den?
Talk to us. We'll be back.
You've been listening to The Show on Q Talk America. This is Q Talk America.
The following broadcast contains adult humor, language, and topics, along with partial nudity. Actual knowledge is used sparingly. The show is a result of a lost bet and a bad game of rock, paper, scissors. It's The Show with Clayton McKee. And now, a man with a face for radio, Clayton McKee.
Holy cow, it's 10 o'clock. It's 2200 hours for those of you playing the home game and taking care of us on whatever you're watching. The ships at sea, people listening to us, Tomo, everybody in Never Never Land, and wherever we are. I am loaded. I don't really give a shit. It's the beginning.
You are besotted.
It's the beginning of our besotted. What's our drinking word? Besotted?
Besotted.
Besotted. It seems good.
What the hell is
All right,
that?
We are at the beginning of hour four, but what we're doing is we're wrapping up our Thoughtful Vulgarity segment, and Al Perkins is going to come to us live from two seats away from me, or one seat, really, away from me, and we're going to go to the Death Watch. Now, who are we adding to it? What do we do? Oh, what the hell?
Her cup.
Good thing she's wearing a cup, that's all I have to say.
All right, man.
All right, so we're adding people to the Death Den. Do we need Death Den music? You know what? We do. I think we do. Hang on. Oh, shit.
Oh, I'm all about Glenn Beck, but remember, we can't put... That's right. We can't put Glenn Beck because that would make him live.
Right,
yeah,
so hey.
That's bad.
We're adding people. So who... So wait, so in the chat room, nobody helped us out, really? Hello, mm-hmm. What's up, Glenn Beck? I get it, Laura, but no, I agree.
Oh, I want him dead.
So...
That's why I'm not going to
put
him on
Casey Kasem...
There.
But you're, Billy Graham. I just don't get your. I just don't really get the.
I'm just trying to play the odds. You want someone young and unexpected.
There's points.
There's
a part of me that's kind of leaning that way.
I think Billy Graham. I think Billy Graham's our winner. Winner,
chicken dinner.
Billy Graham.
You're gonna feel real stupid when Casey Kasem dies next week.
The dead.
No wait. Now, how many points? How many points are we going to assess to Billy Graham? Do we assess points?
Oh, he's really old, so he's a 5-pointer.
Yeah, he's a 5. Okay, so yeah.
Mickey Rooney won because he held on forever.
He
testified in front of Congress while he was
about
dying.
about being old,
right? and damn near dead.
Now, let's, for example, if Catherine Zeta-Jones would have been the choice, would that have been a 20-pointer?
Oh, yeah,
I would think at least 15-20.
Yeah. All right. So we're going to go with Billy Graham.
I'm so far up in the points. I'm just like, I don't necessarily need it.
Listen, cunt. I don't know what the hell you think you're doing. You're just like, oh, you're a happy guy. Martha Graham. Just spell it however you want to. We'll find out. God's chosen one. We'll figure it out.
That's awesome.
Oh, you know who needs to go on this?
Who?
And he's got to be close because he's losing his fucking mind. But if we put him on, he'll live forever. Yep. Pat Robertson.
I agree, he's lost his mind
because what was it he just said the other day? Something about he made some comment about if God hates something, God's a hater. He said something about, he says, I'm a hater too. He made some comment about if, because you know those signs about God hates fags?
Yep.
He said, if God hates fags, then I'm a hater too. He Google that.
Oh, wow.
I'm on it.
Al, you having trouble spelling? What are you doing?
We will accept Kirk Cameron as an alternative to Billy Graham.
Or any cast member from Growing Pains.
Oh, I just put religious bigot there.
Yeah, good call.
I have Buddy Early or Pat Robertson.
He will feel proud.
There we go.
If Buddy Early can help the progress of that. Yes. Well, look at you. Look at writing stuff down.
Yeah. I like
casual
it.
Racing.
I think I'm going to give you a bigger board.
We get you a bigger board.
Well, I would like to get one of the boards that you can kind of... Whoosh,
oh, all right, stand by. Wait, we weren't ready. I'm sorry. We weren't ready.
I like it.
We're going to shut down. She is besotted.
I'm not. Well, who is?
Apparently, I am.
Well, no, but I wasn't ready.
The
vagina monologue over here.
Double it. Add it. I like it. 30. Can't switch our cameras. All right, now it's time for thoughtful gear. I don't know what the fuck is going on. It doesn't matter. Go. Here we go.
And now, thoughtful vulgarity, where we, in the studio, try to make ourselves slightly less shallow, which is not hard to do. We will ask one question of the panel and have them try to answer it while fucked up drunk. Because you know at home how well it goes when an important question comes up 90 minutes after alcohol has been served. Politics? Religion? Why not? You're fucked up. What could possibly go wrong? Who could you offend? You've been warned. Good luck.
Florida. I think it happened in Florida. All right, so because we're late on time, and no. I have a very simple yes or no question.
We have plenty of time.
What is keeping you from working on your Cher imitation? No, I'm just kidding.
What? What is keeping you?
That was actually one of my favorite questions for like week one or two. It's right after Her Majesty and Condoms. Sorry, Lingus. And what is keeping you from your Cher imitation? But I love Lingus. That is still my favorite.
We should bring it back for a recount.
I'm sorry, honey. Can I go down on you to make it up to you?
Sorry, Lingus.
Did you miss that, Katie?
The oral act of love that says, I'm sorry. In a way that just the words can't.
I'm pretty sure that wasn't on camera, but you hear me spit across the room. I'll take one for the team, if you will.
I'll take a mouthful for the team.
Okay, so the real question is, and it's an easy one. Would you rather be incapable of love or honesty?
Winx reunion. We'll go to the reunion now. We're moving up.
Oh, exactly. 2009.
2011. Would I rather be incapable of love or honesty?
Yeah.
Honesty. No, love. I'd rather be incapable of love.
Cake or death? Cake. Death.
Cake. Cake. Oh, I'm hungry. No, I'd rather be incapable of love.
Oh, okay.
That's all so right, weird.
I guess why?
Not me.
You got time. Why?
We have time.
Oh, because I did.
She said with great enthusiasm.
Yeah, I know.
Why?
Why? Sorry, Lingus.
Because if I'm a liar, I'm incapable of love, I think, anyway.
Oh, that's fair. So, that's fair. Thoughtful.
Oh. Ooh.
Light of the vulgarity.
I'm
Will, if fuck I, you, how if,
that? Yeah, exactly. Then that means I'm incapable of love, you cunt.
I would rather be incapable of... okay, wait, what? I need to rethink about this. Incapable of...
love or honesty?
I would rather be incapable of... oh, God, that's hard. But I think honesty, I wouldn't want to live my life without any form of love. You know, even if it's just, like, for a dog or, like, a grandma. I wouldn't want a...
good TV show.
That, too. So I would say honesty. But, I mean, yeah, I mean, I kind of get what you're saying, that you can't really be... you can't really love someone if you're not able to be honest, but...
but you wouldn't be honest with yourself.
I'm going to say I'd rather be incapable of honesty.
Okay.
Okay.
That's my story.
And I'm sticking to it.
I'm going
to
go with Marnie on this because I fully agree with that. If you're incapable of being honest, how can you possibly be honest with somebody and express and have that level of love or have that level of commitment or relationship with them? And I have been, even though I have been told I am an asshole numerous times for many different reasons.
At least you're honest about it.
Right. But I would rather tell you that you are a racist asshole than to...
but I'll still suck your dick.
Anyway. No, but I'd rather be able to tell somebody honestly that, okay, you annoy the shit out of me and I'd really rather not spend any more time around you and be honest about it, or tell them any number of things. There's so many things. But I'd rather be honest with somebody than to be liked or even or loved either way, because I do find myself in situations all the time where people ask opinions and I'm like, okay, do you really want me to tell you?
Right.
Yes, I'll tell you why. I'm like, well, that was kind of rude, but you asked
that's
for
right,
an opinion.
Yes. Oh yeah. Don't ever ask. Yeah.
Right. If you
never
aren't
ask
ready,
you're not ready.
Yep. Don't ever ask a question.
If you
can't handle the answer.
If you want to know why you don't win pageants, don't tell me. Don't.
Yep.
Taylor Dane, quit doing Taylor Dane.
Rookie mistake.
Yeah. So, well, Alfred, you on that?
I have to go the other way for
you're going
to
agree with Katie?
Yeah, honesty is a good thing, but it would be more sad to not be able to love something.
Yeah.
Like, okay. For me, like...
but how could you... how literally could you...
I have lied to a lot of people I was in love
but
with.
But that...
but was it
but
love?
That's not
that's
love.
Lust.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
Yes.
I wasn't lying to myself. I was lying
yes,
to them.
Yes, you were.
Right.
No, you were
lying to yourself.
You were lying to yourself.
No, I was in love. They weren't in love. I was.
You were in lust.
No, I was in love. But hey,
what was that plan that we
and
saw
I
again?
Will back off if that is
well,
the
it
truth.
Goes to
no, that's true. I mean,
if, by the way, did you notice what I just said? If that is the truth?
Yeah.
Well, you know,
what?
It's similar to...
but I will always say that just because I loved them, it doesn't mean it was ever
reciprocated.
Like, you know, the unreciprocated love march. I know that dance.
That does
kind
of remind me of a sign out there by my desk that says, even though it talks about stalking, but it could be, you know, stalking is when two people go on a long romantic walk and only one person knows about it.
One person has the route.
When are we getting home? Just stand by.
Yeah. But no, I will honestly say that. I think, like, you get more out of loving someone than you do than being totally honest with them. And sometimes that can end it. It really is an interesting question. I mean, I hate to give it the rush because it really is like chicken or egg of like, well, you can't honestly be in love if you're not being honest. But then again, if you're incapable of love, then what's the point to the honesty? Like, you know what I mean?
But
if you're
I
not,
feel like if you have the... and again, you're right. Why did the chicken cross the road?
Yeah.
I mean, I just
and
look at
it. And can he do anything without his motives being questioned?
Seriously, I love that. Oh my God, I fucking love that. Love that.
I saw that today.
The, you know...
it's
one of the funniest things
firmly
I've seen
held
before.
I want to live in a world where a chicken can cross the road and not be questioned.
Hey, what did we see? That Mars...
Mars.
Mars. Yep.
Perfect.
What are you on Flashback Friday already? What the hell
I'm
is that?
I'm just trying to like highlight it in a photo here.
Yeah, good for you.
But yeah,
Did it really cut off? Are we off here?
No, well, we are. That is, I don't know why, but we're still going. We're still recording.
All right,
we're gone.
So that would. I mean, it's a really interesting. So think about it. I mean, just process it. See how you feel.
No,
but I
feel good about it. I'm truly, you know, and I
did too. I mean, I've had this question as a backup question.
I think it's a great question
for like about 3 months now.
Yeah, and I do. I think it's a great question. I just feel very confident that I can say that and. And that would be the case, because I am absolutely not loving either myself or anyone else. So if I'm incapable of
honesty,
love.
Right. So all you do, because incapable of honesty means all you do is lie. Mm-hmm. Incapable of love means all you do is like. Like, you can still like something, sure. Which I guess is good enough. So I could see that.
And I can be honest about the fact that I don't like you.
Oh, well, me too.
There's maybe only a couple letters change between like and like. I'm just saying.
Oh, yeah. Well, and it's my favorite line in Cheers is when Diane and Sam are fighting and Carla's like just disgusted with both of them.
I love when she gets disgusted with them.
And Carla's like, give it up. All you do is fight. And she's like, the opposite of love isn't hate. It's indifference. And Carla goes, so?
Which is indifference.
I'm like, the most brilliant show that was ever on TV.
It's a very funny show.
So?
Yeah. So?
Yeah. And then when Carla goes, can you imagine a world without love? And Diane goes, I can't conceive. And Carla goes, thank God.
Nice.
Oh, my God.
She
Lord.
Was hysterical.
Cheers. It's character. On like 5 nights a week somewhere. Enjoy it.
Yeah, seriously. Very good.
It is the end of what we started. It's like 3.25 hours.
Yeah.
we'll get there somehow. It's a great day for America, boys and girls. Yeah.
We'll be with it.
Pretty good for Mars too.
Yeah, it's a great day for Mars.
Several times brighter. We'll be with you every week. I'm debating about not doing next week's show because I just need a moment or two off. He's out next week for other reasons that we can't discuss because, well, he may come back as a woman. We're not sure. May involve duct tape and tongue depressors.
I haven't picked the breast implants yet.
You don't know. Wait, well, you'd have to tell us what to call yourself.
Tune in next week. Let us know. Thank you for joining us in the chat room. It's Studio C. It's Clayton McKee, Katie, Marnie, Al, me. We will leave you with this parting thought and shot. We will
see you next Tuesday. Woo!
You've been listening to The Show on Q Talk America.